I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Like so many out here in this world, I'm just FOH. You know what that is, Scotty?
What's that?
It's Friends of Hans.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Welcome on in, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Folks, we are out and about today. We are live here in Bluffdale, which I'll admit, I don't get to Bluffdale very often. This area is booming, man.
It is.
Holy smokes.
A lot of growth, and Fat Cats has stepped in, and they are providing the entertainment. But there is a lot of growth going on just through the Redwood area. Here in Bluffdale, when I first bought out in Eagle Mountain, this was a single lane road.
Yeah,
that I would see maybe five cars on as I was driving out to the other end of Saratoga Springs. And now this thing is booming.
You get rid of a prison and look what happens.
Yeah, a lot of growth, a lot of happy families, and Fat Cats has come in. So here's the great thing. Scotty and I have your Friday entertainment taken care of. All you got to do is come down to Fat Cats. We are giving $10 gift cards to every single person that comes in today.
Yes.
We've got a whole box of gift cards, and each person that comes in is going to get a $10 gift card. So if you got a family out there, maybe you got 4 or 5 kids, these all go to the arcades so the kids can come in and win their tickets, and they go in and they use their tickets to buy toys, and your Friday evening is taken care of.
13901 South Redwood Road here in Bluffdale. And again, just walk through the front entrance. Hans and I will be right to your hand out a $10 arcade gift card to everybody who comes by. It's that simple.
Come see us.
Yes.
Come see what Fat Cats is all about. You had not been.
I've never been to a Fat Cats before. And after walking in, I spent 5 minutes walking in and thought, we need one of these in Davis County.
Yeah.
Come up north, Fat Cats. Let's go.
Well, Fat Cats is awesome because they've got their big screen theaters. And it's all. I know that fits the bill for you.
Oh, yeah. I like me some luxury seating.
If you're going to go to the theater, you only do luxury seating.
Yes.
And their entire theater is luxury seating. Then they've got a bunch of bowling alley lanes that are just beautiful with all kinds of neon lights and all the different sizes that you need. And
are you a bowler?
Yeah, I like to.
I could see you being into bowling.
Once every once every month.
I cannot remember the last time I went bowling. It's probably been 15 years.
You got your own ball hands and shoes?
No. I don't.
That's where he draws the line.
And I don't have my bowling team or...
You don't wear the bowling shirt.
I don't have the matching uniforms.
The pin shakers?
You did. You did have that one golf shirt that had that purple in it that somebody from the Jazz accused you of being on the Weber State bowling team because it was purple.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do remember that. No, I don't have that even anymore. But I do. I love to get out and bowl a little bit. It's fun to bring the family out and just have a little bit of fun, get into some competition. They've got an incredible mini golf, and the mini golf is fun because they've got it all black lighted out, and they've got all these neon lights, and everything is kind of lit around, and the ball lights up from the black lights. So the mini golf is a ton of fun. They got a great grill where they're serving up pizzas or chicken fingers or French fries.
I could go for a little. I could go for all of that right now,
Scott. You got to love this place, right?
Oh, dude, I'm already in love with this place. I'm telling you, I'm looking at their website. They've got, let's see, Saratoga Springs, Provo, now in Bluffdale. So they're creeping up north. I think Bountiful, Centerville, Layton. Come on.
Dana.
We just have Fat Cats.
Just have entertainment. So my family is going to be coming out, hanging out.
Nice.
We're gonna bowl a little bit, hang out a little bit.
Sisters in town.
Yeah. Got a sister in town. Got my niece and my nephew and their kids and mom and dad. So it's going to be Olsen Assemble down here. And we're going to be having a good time. I want everybody to come out and just share in the fun and excitement.
Come on. 13901 Redwood Road here in Bluffdale. Come by, hang out with us, and let's go.
How'd things go? Was the show better without me yesterday?
No, it was miserable. It sucks, as always.
That's not true.
No, it's awful.
Scotty is like one of the more miserable people when you're gone.
I think
he doesn't even like hanging out with me. I was like, okay, this is
I think
fun.
We're both miserable when each other is gone.
I really don't believe that. I do appreciate the sentiment. And I do want to tell you and Lloyd, I was at Mackey's graduation yesterday. Lehigh knocks the graduation out of the park.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not going to mention where my other kid graduated from.
Okay.
That was an embarrassment.
Okay.
Yeah, it was disorganized. It was a sham.
Where were you at for the graduation?
The UVU event center.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it was personal, and the speeches were great. It was well-timed. Awesome. If not the best graduation I've been to, definitely one of them. This guy turns around. He's sitting right in front of me, and he turns around. He goes, "Aren't you supposed to be on air?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Aren't you supposed to be listening to the show?" And he kind of laughed, and he goes, "I do every day except for when a kid graduates." And he goes, "I'd like to say I'm your biggest fan." And I kind of look to the left, and his wife is just sitting there, you know, these saucer-sized eyes. And he goes, "But she's actually your biggest fan." And she stands up and extends a hand, and I shake her hand, and she's like, "I am that female listener that you and Scotty talk about." She's like, "Every time you say, here's a blanket or here's a shirt, you guys are always up in Bountiful or up in North Salt Lake." She's like, "But I almost make the drive because I just love the show." And she was awesome, and he was awesome. So, Scotty, the point is, I found our two listeners.
Awesome.
I found our two morning after podcast listeners.
So what we found out here, Lloyd, is that nobody was listening to the show yesterday. Because our two listeners were at the Lehigh High School graduation. We just could have just flipped the switch and been dead air.
That's why I said, "Aren't you supposed to be listening right now?" He's like, "To what?" I said, "They're still doing the show."
Yeah, that's what he said. And like, if you're not there, I'm not listening. No,
that's not the case, man. And it was fun. To all the graduates out there, congratulations. You have just entered the more difficult part and less enjoyable part of life.
Yeah, that's what I always tell my kids when they're like, "Oh, school sucks. I hate it." I'm like,
"Oh, dude.
Hey, this is the salad days for you. You don't have a care in the world."
Oh, man.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Lloyd, well, you and I know that our high school experiences weren't one-fourth of what Lloyd's was.
Oh, geez. Oh,
stop.
Lloyd was owning the world.
Yes.
in high school.
Yep.
But, a long time ago.
Hey, oh, and she said, one thing she said, she turned around, she goes, "This sure ain't Declo, is it?" And I said, "No, no, this isn't Declo." Because there were like 700 in the graduating class.
Yeah, so
this sure ain't Declo.
That's always a tough pill to swallow. How big was your graduating class?
I was 92.
See, we were 65.
Whew. You know everybody.
Absolutely.
Did you have to go out of town to date?
I
couldn't date in Weezer. Everybody knew my gig.
I dated a girl from Burley. She was the girl I dated for my junior and senior year.
So that was still in your high school?
No. But she went to Burley High School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Which didn't sit well with a lot of friends.
Did you ever traipse into Minico?
No. Nobody messes with Minico.
Did you ever meet any girls from Jerome?
No. Once you step into those boundaries, you don't come back. Or at least you don't come back the same person. But no, when I graduated, and that was only my point of reference, is that, you knock out the names real quick. You're in and out of there. You're in the gym at your own high school. There's maybe 150 people there. You shake some hands and you're out of there. It's like a 45-minute thing. And so when I got married and my wife, her brother was graduating high school, she's like, "Hey, you want to come to high school graduation?" Sure. He was at Cottonwood High School. I'm like, "Sure. What's the big deal?" "No big deal." Sit down and we're like, "Oh my gosh, we're 2 hours into this thing and we're only through the F's." I'm like, We gotta speed this up here a little bit. This is taking too long.
That's why I think the school matters. Lee, I could not believe how quickly I got through 700 names.
No kidding.
It was awesome. And they still found a way to kind of personalize it.
That's great.
It was extremely well done. I don't know how you do that for 700 kids. I have been wildly impressed with Lehigh High School. They just have a really great care for kids. And I know everybody keeps attacking school systems, especially lately. And I'm sure that there are certain parts of school systems that are slipping. In fact, I know with attendance and those types of things, it's not like it was back in your day or my day or even Lloyd's day. Because Lloyd's about 15 years younger than us.
Yeah.
It's kids don't attend as often.
Now, you missed school back in the day. It was a problem.
It was a problem with the parents and the teachers and your grade. We got a number on Mackey's excused absences. And
9 times? I don't remember Mackey being sick 9 times.
It's in the 3 marks.
Wow, she had triple digits?
Mm-hmm.
Atta girl.
Yep. And she's all parading around about it. And I'm like, "That's nothing to be proud of, Rusty." 50 feet, nothing to be proud of, Rusty. So I tripped up that. I'm like, "Stop it." I'm like, "That's a bad example because Riley was there." I'm like, that's a bad example.
Rocks over there, like, I heard about Rocks seminary attendance.
I don't even know what he goes. Oh, yeah, I know. Talking to him about it, too. I don't even know what to do with that kid. But school isn't the same. We used to miss a day, and it was like hell. And fury would rain down upon our heads.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, I'll just do it online. I'll attend online.
Yeah, February's really not great for me. Okay. All right.
Did you say February as in the month? It doesn't fit.
No. I mean, we got a Z here. You probably went, this looks like a dude that went to high school maybe like twice your senior year.
Dude, if I would have looked like that in high school.
I know. I would never have shown up to high school.
Artek looks like a movie star, and he's just chiseled out of granite. And I would not do anything.
Good head of hair. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
I'd have left school. I
bet you got some high school stories. Yeah, he did all right.
I'd have learned how to play the guitar and left high school, gone somewhere on the West Coast, just ruled the day.
What I wouldn't be is hanging out with Ush Lubs.
he's too good for this show. That's why we try to keep him out of the view of people.
Yeah. All right. Hands of Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You need to get the ball in the middle.
instead of taking the jump shot, but if we go, whoa.
Jalen jumps the passing lane, picks off the pass from Martin, goes the distance and scores. Celtics score 5 points in 5 seconds. Smart lead for Jalen. He's got a step on screw, slides into the baseline. Two-hand slam.
And this time just attacked the rim.
All right, starting a lineup brought to you by Lee's Heating and Air. You're about ready to fire up that AC. If you haven't already, well, guess what? You need to have that thing working properly. Lee's Heating and Air, home of the award-winning line of America's Standard Furnaces and Air Conditioners. Call or visit leesheatac.com now to schedule a free in-home estimate or a free second opinion. All right, Hans, yesterday you were gone enjoying the graduation, but... I was hanging out, slumming it on the show with Tim Lacombe. And Tim hopped on, and I said, hey, you know what? Boston won game four, but really, nobody's giving these guys a shot, right? He goes, Boston, I think, is going to win this series. And I said, Tim.
Oh, Tim, no.
Timmy, no.
Oh, Bubba, no.
And last night, Boston takes Miami behind the woodshed. And wins fairly easily. Now, instead of 3-0, it's 3-2. And the series shifts back to Miami, where Boston won game four. Who knows, Hans? Maybe okay. We have a series on our hands.
Okay. I didn't get to hear the conversation. I'm sure it was fantastic.
Lloyd's going to pull the audio here.
And my boy Timmy is the best in the business.
Yeah.
Let me explain why I don't completely disagree with Timmy. I don't 100% agree because I still think Miami comes out of this. But let me work you through this a little bit. This is just coming from my point of view. A few things. Number one, I know that the record is, whatever it is, 0 and 179 or something like that.
Yep.
When teams are pressed to a 3-0 deficit in NBA postseason. I just want to put a little bit of a clarification on this. I don't know out of those 179 postseason series that lost in an 0-3 deficit were a 2-8 matchup.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of them ever have been a 2-8 matchup where the 8 was up 3-0 on the 2.
I would say that's never happened. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
I would be pretty confident in saying that in the Eastern Conference Finals, or just in the Conference Finals in general, when an 8 met up with a 2, that the 8 was up 3-0.
Yeah.
So what does that tell us? Well, that goes back to our original guess, which was, Boston just got lucky. Miami made a run through. But Miami took Milwaukee out, so Boston didn't have to deal with them. Miami ran through New York. And Miami shows up, and you're thinking, if you're the Boston Celtics, you're thinking, yes, they took out Milwaukee. They're an 8 seed. They don't have Hero. They don't have Oladipo. This thing's over. And the confidence builds, and they're all excited, like, all right, let's go make short work of this, and we'll see Denver in the finals. And then Miami comes out, and they hit 50% from three. Guys are moving around the court playing defense. Some dude that they don't know, his name's Vincent, shows up, puts 29 points on their head. Postseason Jimmy shows up and they're like, what is it? Why is this guy such a freak in the postseason? And they fall to this 3-0. Well, it's almost like the smelling salts hit. And in game four, they're like, geez, we better get going. The rest of the country is putting it on Joe Mazzulla saying, their head coach sucks. They're going to lose in four and he's going to be fired. You said it after game four. You're like, Hans, they're playing for that coach as if they don't want him to be fired. Well, they just played game five as if they don't want him to be fired.
Yeah.
So they have a better roster. They are a better team. Maybe they aren't as disconnected from their head coach. They have to find a way now to get a win in game six on the road in Miami. If they beat Miami in game six, this will be your first 0-3 comeback.
Yes. Yep.
If they
agree.
Beat Miami in game six, this will be your first 0-3 comeback. And a lot of that has to do with it being a 2-8 matchup in the conference finals.
Look, I'm all about history. I was fired up when my guy Ryan Odom got a victory over Virginia for in a 116 upset in the NCAA tournament. First time it's ever happened. When the Red Sox beat the Yankees in 2004, whenever that was, and they were down 0-3 and came back and won that ALCS series. That was awesome to watch. If this happens, it's going to be great to watch, and I'm going to be fired up to – I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm fired up for Boston because I want to see history. But here's the comments. Here's Tim Lacombe before Game 5 last night calling a shot.
You know, I saw a tweet today from the great Mike Smith. He joined us this year. I got to hang out with him most nights, most Jazz game nights for a while, and I miss Mike. So if you're out there, Mike, I love you, brother. But I saw a tweet from him today, and I've got the same sense. It's basically, I've got this sense that Boston kind of, I just got a weird feeling they're going to win the series now. And I know that's like a knee-jerk reaction. I know. You were just asking about tonight, but I don't think it's out of the ordinary, man, and I know they got to get tonight, but when you look at it, Boston shot 29% from three, by far the worst they've shot from three in any stretch, you know, all year long. And so it's a little bit of an outlier that they shot so poorly. Everybody talks about their lack of effort, but one of the harder things to do is to play your butt off when the ball continually won't go in for you. And I think that they got a little bit dejected, and I think they gave in to fatigue a little bit. But they looked so good the other night, and they shot 41% from three, and the ball popped around. And all they've got to do is win two, you know, they've got to win one game at home. And, it all starts tonight. But I do believe that the Celtics, I think it's been proven all year they were the better team. But Miami's just been so hot. But I did see Caleb Martin miss tonight, and he's a big part of why they've been good. Those guys off the bench. So it goes back to what Marcus Smart said. You know, if the Heat wanted to get it done, don't let us win one. I've been wrong before, but let's see if that actually is a little more meaningful than it seems.
I totally understand where he's coming from. And hearing that, that's the first time I heard it. It's kind of in line with some of my reasoning. But we can sit here and talk about it. But going back to Miami, if Miami, and I know that they nearly hit 40% last night. They were 39-something percent from three last night. But they're going to come back home. And if they find that stroke, I'm expecting to see Vincent back on the court.
Yep.
And we know Vincent makes a huge difference for them. Wasn't on the court for game four. Or game five, I mean. It makes sense what he's saying, Scotty. I just can't imagine them getting through game six coming up tomorrow.
I'm going to be rooting for him.
I see where he's coming from. And did he say Mike Smith had the same belief?
Yeah. Yep.
And look, Mike Smith is more right than he ever is wrong.
And I'd forgotten about his comments about Mike. So, yeah. This is this thing's getting turned upside down a little bit, man. This is going to be really fun to see how this plays out.
Okay, so what does this go back to? This goes back to two things, in my opinion. This goes back to two things. It goes back to Eric Spoelstra as the head coach of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And what adjustments Eric Spoelstra is able to make, whether Vincent's back on the court for Game 6 or not, you've got a coach, a veteran coach that's got a lot of experience. He understands that Game 7 is a death sentence. He knows it. Whether he wants to admit it or not, he knows going back to TD Garden against that Celtics team is going to be a nightmare in Game 7. He knows he's got to get it done in Game 6. So Eric Spoelstra's number one. Jimmy Butler's number two. And Jimmy Butler's comments post-game were very encouraging if you're a Heat fan. This is what Jimmy said. He said, because the last two games are not who we are. It just happened to be that way. We stopped playing defense halfway because we didn't make the shots that we wanted to make. But that's easily correctable. You just have to come out, play harder from the jump. Like I always say, it's going to be all smiles, and we're going to keep it very, very, very consistent, knowing that we're going to win the very next game. We just got to play a little better. Start the game off better. Make it more difficult on them. They are in rhythm since the beginning of that game. But we're all positive knowing that we can and we will absolutely win this series. We'll just have to close it out at home.
If you don't win that game, after those comments, he's putting all his eggs in that basket in game six. This is
he put it all on his own shoulder because he was not good last night.
No, he wasn't. This is Donovan Mitchell yelling at Oklahoma City saying we're not coming back.
Exactly.
This is what he's doing. He's calling his shot. So if they don't win game six, the series is over. Boston's winning the series.
It's going to be Boston's.
But I don't think it's going to game seven. I think Miami's winning game six.
I wonder how confident Boston is, though.
Oh, they're through the roof confident.
I think. And I know there was a lot to be made about Joe Mazzulla. And I felt like Joe Mazzulla, if they would have lost in four.
I think he's gone.
Probably announced he's gone the next day or within the week. And right now, Joe Mazzulla is rubbing his hands together saying, see, I'm not a complete failure. He's feeling confident. And he's going to be working some chess pieces because he's got some working parts right now.
All right, we are live here, the brand new location of Fat Cats. Austin's hanging out with us, marketing guru for Fat Cats, which I don't want to disparage your job, but this place pretty much sells itself, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to do a lot of marketing because once you walk in, you're like, bam, I'm sold. This is awesome.
Easiest job. Just get people here. They're just going to have fun at any of the cool stuff we have.
How long have you been involved with Fat Cats, Austin?
Just a little over a year.
Isn't this a blast?
Yeah, I live down in Utah County. We have our Saratoga one down there, so I've been going there for about 5 years. So I'm like, I need to work there.
It is just one of those places you come in with a family, and it is entertainment from the jump. Talk about some of the things people can expect if they come down to this Bluffdale location.
So we used to have our old Mill Creek location. Now we've since shut that down. We opened this Bluffdale one, but those familiar with that location only had our bowling alley. So big thing here in Bluffdale is we have movie theaters. So all of our luxury seats, there are no upcharge for that. All the seating, bring your food right to you. It's awesome.
Wow. Great food. It's just not, you're not just getting the popcorn and the soda. You got great food options here. The arcade, you know, the arcade is just phenomenal. I mean, the variety and the quality of the games there are awesome.
Yeah, over 65 brand new games, and it's awesome. Our grand opening special, first 2 weeks, half off arcade.
So Scotty and I just walked through the arcade, and we just saw that axe throwing game. You actually throw axes. Now, they're a rubber head axe, but it sticks into this game board. And I was watching two daughters play against their dad, throwing those axes and hitting the targets, and the little girls are pumping their fists and dad's shaking his head, and they're winning tickets that they get to exchange for toys, and this is just a perfect family event.
Yeah, just come in. And that's a cool thing on the arcade. There's games for all ages. You mentioned the axe throwing. That's what more competitiveness. I love when the kids beat the parents. That's awesome.
So, Austin, I know that you've given us an entire box of $10 gift cards to the arcade.
Right, yeah.
And it is first come, first serve, but we are loaded. So you come in and every person gets a $10 gift card to go play these arcade games and win tickets and go have a blast.
Yeah, that's awesome. They doubled. So they're really $20 arcade cards because we're half off right now.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So no big deal.
That's right.
No big deal. You just flipped your $10 into $20. And we're giving that to you for free.
That's right.
Just come down and find us. Scotty and I are just hanging out just to the left of the entrance. Austin will be kind of wandering through the place, and we'll all be here helping you out. Have some fun. Yep. Please, families, it's the grand opening. Come out and support something that has really made this community better. Anytime a Fat Cats comes in, it just makes a community better.
Yeah, we sense the excitement from Bluffdale. They've been counting down the days. This is great. Good way to kick off the weekend.
Hey, just for the record, if you can, like, nudge somebody, I live up in Bountiful. Like, Davis County's awesome. I mean, if you guys wanted, like, you know, come on.
We're scooting that way.
That's what I want to hear.
That's right.
Let's go. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale, 13901 Redwood Road, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on The Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen and Scotty Cheer.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, guess what, Hans? The National Hockey League is kicking off the season in Utah. Don't miss the Frozen Fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at Delta Center October 5th. Tickets at lakekings.com/Frozen Fury.
Meow.
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 Snarf.
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 In association with the Utah Sports Commission. Man, I hate you guys.
Oh, I was laughing my butt off. My sister's in town, and we were laughing. I told her about the
I'm sure you did.
Frozen Furry.
Yeah.
Thanks. And Cats on Ice coming to the Delta Center. And we were just dying, man. You know, Scotty, that's one of the beautiful things about you.
Okay.
You are funny, even when you're not trying to be. You are hilarious.
So what you're
and
saying
the ultimate
is you,
professional, too.
So what you're saying is you enjoy my screw-ups.
I don't even know if that was a screw-up.
No, I was.
I think you were just having fun.
No.
Thought you were going to bring cats to ice.
Meow.
Hey, free tickets, though?
Well, not right now, but I'm sure we will be giving away soon.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Because we've always got something to give you.
We are giving away free $10 arcade passes. Anybody who comes by, so you bring by your family. and you...
We have eight left. I'm just
kidding. Eight.
Started with
97.
1,000. No. We've got more than we're going to be able to give away. So anybody that comes in is going to have
it. Bring in your family. And by the way, arcades are half off. So essentially you're turning $10 into $20.
Yep.
So.
And I will tell you right now, this place is ready for you to come in and have fun. Because, there's some people, but it's not packed.
No, it's not crazy. You'd think this place would be just crazy with kids with
it's not
school being, out or nearly out. Well, you can come on by here right now, and you're in pretty good shape.
We got bowling lanes open, a lot of the arcade games open, and come down, grab your $10 card. As Scotty mentioned, that turns into 20. Everybody in the family gets a $10 card.
Yep.
So come down and do it.
Let's go. Let's have some fun. All right. So, there's a lot of guys out there that have been just beating the drum of the Pac-12's falling apart. Pac-12's falling apart. And there's been a lot of smoke out there. But Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman, he's come on our show a couple times. He's been on with DJ and PK a bunch. He's a guy that you look at as being a well-respected, well-connected journalist, columnist, and has been around forever. Well, he put his name on it in saying that he's also hearing that Colorado may be very well ready to make the jump to the Big 12, and came on with DJ and PK and said that he thinks that the thought that there might be some Pac-12 to Big 12 defectors, he said if you would have asked him 3 weeks ago, he would have said no way. Now he says that he thinks it is, quote, likely.
Okay, so Scotty, a few things. A few things, Scotty. Number one, it was just last month that the report was put out that the Colorado Athletic Director, Rick George, responded to those reports about an exit vote that could happen as early as Monday. And his quote exactly was, "There is absolutely no truth to this tweet." So that was specific to a timeline. It was as early as Monday. These reports were sometime mid-April, and the athletic director said, no, there is zero truth to this tweet.
Yeah.
This is what I'm calling on. I'm calling on athletic directors or presidents of the universities to come out and stop these claims if there is no truth to them. It's that simple. If there were rumors swirling about the Utah Jazz leaving the NBA to join the EuroLeagues, the presidents of the Utah Jazz would be front and center saying, there's no truth. We are not leaving. We are firm in what we're doing. Even if there's conversations with the EuroLeagues and they feel like that it would improve their world brand.
Yeah.
Which, I'm just setting a scenario. But how easy is it as a brand representative that's watching tweets and watching rumors and watching misinformation to step forward and say, that's wrong? Why aren't we hearing it?
Because it may not be wrong.
That's my point.
Yeah. I think it was wrong a month ago.
When that athletic director stepped forward and said, nope.
You don't see, we haven't seen Mark Harlan get testy on Twitter and saying, this is ridiculous.
Not in a month.
Yeah. I do think there's truth. I don't think it's a done deal. I don't think that it's, I don't think it's on the cusp, but I think we're edging nearer. But here's the thing. There is a deadline here. And I think it's the end of July or end of June. I think it's June 31st. Is there 31 days in June? Or no, 30th. Yeah. I think where they're going to have to make a decision one way or another if you're going to compete in the 2024-25 season. And so you're going to have to give notice here very soon to the Pac-12 if you are indeed leaving. And so, folks, buckle up, man. We might be in for it here.
What I don't understand is, in through all of this, when USC and UCLA left, that should have galvanized the remaining 10.
Yes.
They should have all been on the phone and saying, hey, are you in this? Yeah, I'm in this. Did they screw you too? Yeah, they screwed me. I was talking with them. They never mentioned this. I know. They left us high and dry. And you would think that those 10 athletic directors and presidents would join forces. And if they would have done that, how easy it would be to be vocal and say, no, we're sticking through this through thick and thin, and we are going to get a TV deal, and we are going to play together as a conference. We're fine. They would be more unified. But there seems to be separation. There seems to be athletic directors and presidents and universities not on the same page, because when Barry Trammell puts out a report like this, it's a really quick fix.
Yeah.
Every athletic director's heard it, including Mark Harlan and everybody else. It's a really quick fix. Mark Harlan sends a tweet that the athletic director from Colorado jumps on a podcast or a sports show and says, the reports coming out of Oklahoma are not accurate. We are holding strong together as a conference, and we are going to find a TV deal that appeases all of us. If they felt like they were unified and they felt like the future was bright, that's what we would see. Am I wrong in that?
No. Nope. Nope. Not at all.
Because it's not that hard.
Because if memory serves me correct, the tweet that Mark Harlan responded to, or even that the Colorado AD responded to, was not an overly credible person. Like, I don't remember who it was, but it wasn't like it was Barry Trammell. Like, Barry Trammell's highly respected.
I think, was it Pat Ford? No, it was. No, it was
or,
the,
no, no, no,
it was the
no.
guy that did the San Diego State piece.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. And I actually take that back. It was Dennis Dodd. Yeah, no, and Dennis Dodd's highly respected. Never mind. I take that back. So, all right, so let me rephrase that then. The last time somebody with some respect behind their name said something, it was responded to very quickly. Barry Trammell is easily at the same level as far as connections in the college football world, especially in the Big 12 world, as Dennis Dodd.
And noise he can make.
And with the noise he can make. And Barry Trammell said something, and it's been crickets. And that was 72 hours ago.
So I think that's a problem. I think that's a sign of a problem, because it's not hard for a president or athletic director to say, no, that's wrong. And when they say it, when Mark Harlan said it, was like you and I had a conversation of, oh, well, they're off the track.
Yeah.
When the Colorado AD came forward and was like, there is absolutely no truth to this tweet. It's like, oh, okay, they're on the same page. They need to unify. If they are jumping into a TV deal, that's the other thing, Scotty. If I'm a TV partner and I'm hearing all these rumors and I'm not seeing unification and I'm not seeing proper leadership in their commissioner, as a TV partner, I'm like, well, how committed are they? Okay, we'll call them and see what their thoughts are. on being a part of the Big 12, because if we can get them over with the Big 12, where we've already got a good partnership, then we can just extend a broader package, and we can have them over there.
Yeah.
Because they're not unified there. They're not sitting there saying, oh, no, we're all in this together. And why aren't they? Because they're looking for money. Where's the money right now? It's feeling like more and more it's going to be in the Big 12. Or the Big 10, if you could possibly get that invite.
Yeah. Well, and that's the point. And I know Mark Harlan and Utah has been very hesitant about having conversations. And I know they want desperately to keep this conference together. But at some point, you just have to take a step back and say, hey, look, we got to do what's best for us. And we can't be the last person in this conference. We can't be the last rat on this sinking ship. If we start to see it snowballing and we're ready, where people are ready to start jumping off, we got to be right there, knocking the women and children aside, making sure we have a seat on that boat. You can't be worried about being civil.
Yeah.
You got to protect you.
Nobody can wrong you for that.
Yeah.
As long as you're taking care of yourself.
Yep.
People can't wrong you for that.
It's okay to be selfish here.
What you would get wronged for is
being left behind.
Being left behind.
Yep. All right, 12:46, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at Fat Cats, 13901 Redwood Road in Bluffdale. And Hans has a big stack of these gift cards that we're handing out. $10 gift cards to the arcade for everybody who comes by. Man, woman, child, come on by. We'll give you a $10 gift card. And everything's half off in the arcade, so it's essentially double. So you get $20. Come on by, hang out. It's all right here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
No, BYU should not be happy being in the Big 12. They should not be happy just being there this year. You've got to start that championship culture and mindset from day one. And I've said this, when BYU was independent, I said, okay, fine, own independence then. If you're independent, own it. You know, we're not in a conference, we're in every conference. And we're competing to win national championships. We compete on a national stage. And we're looking for young men who want excellence in every aspect of their life. In their football life, in their spiritual life, in their personal life, in all of their life. And if you're going to be there and own it. Whatever you are.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. For the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies,
yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all well.
Can I ask a Z really quick?
Sure.
You know who this is?
I don't know who it is, but I've heard this song before.
You know who Marilyn Monroe is?
Marilyn Monroe, yeah.
Okay.
Did you know the 83-year-old singer that just passed away?
Was it a girl?
Yeah.
You know who Tina Turner is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
You do know some Tina Turner stuff?
I do.
Okay. Could you name two Neil Diamond songs? Do you know who Neil Diamond is?
I do know who Neil Diamond is. I can't name any songs, but like if I heard songs, I'd be like, oh.
This is actually one of the better performances from the Z's that we've talked to.
I was pretty well educated. My father.
Yeah.
I thank my father for that.
Okay.
Have you ever heard the name Merlin Olsen?
Merlin Olsen?
Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen? No.
Just say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have.
Don't worry, man. I'm not going to hold that against you.
His uncle, NFL great. legend.
Hall of Famer.
Oh.
Actor. Yeah, he was.
Have you ever seen Little House on the Prairie?
No, but I heard of that.
Okay. He was voted to the 75-year anniversary NFL team, so first team.
Wow.
Which means he's one of the best two defensive tackles to ever play the game.
Yes, so football just runs in your family.
It does, man. It's deep. We appreciate you always being brilliant to answer.
And tell us your high school stories off the air.
Okay. I got you.
All right.
So that was Billy Joel.
Yeah. Have you heard of Billy Joel?
Oh, yes.
Billy Joel. Okay.
Not my favorite, but Billy Joel, you got to remember him.
I know Billy Joel.
Okay. All right.
Look at you sticking up for Billy Joel.
Well.
You hate Billy Joel.
Not a big Billy Joel fan. You're right. Absolutely. But don't you think there are some things that you just have to get past and still respect it?
Yes. Yeah.
It's because I'm not a big fan of the Piano Man or the We Didn't Start the Fire or not a big fan.
You're hard-pressed to find a more dated song than We Didn't Start the Fire. I mean.
And I know it means a lot to you. Things that mean something to you.
Billy Joel doesn't really mean anything to me.
Does it mean something to you, Lloyd?
The Eagles do. I know you don't like the Eagles.
Not a big fan of the Eagles. But I don't hate the Eagles. I'm coming around on the Eagles. I'm working on that.
You got a little Seven Bridges Road. Kind of got you flipped around.
The harmony in that is
awesome.
Very special.
All right. Old Man Radio right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports.
Wanted to comment on the Isaac Wilson signing with the University of Utah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I got a couple of thoughts on him. Number one, the Wilsons succeed. They do. They succeed. Now, Zach Wilson's hit a bump in the road, and I do think that he's got the guts, and I'm hoping that he finds the right organization and gets the right, hits the right timing, and he finds his stride. But Isaac Wilson, if he is a film dog like Zach was, and I know that his dad is the catalyst behind that. His dad is very good with film, pushing his kids to film, pushing his kids to greatness. He's really good with that. He actually has a great balance with it. Very involved in their lives. This is a kid, Scotty, that threw for 3,800 yards last year. He threw 40 touchdowns last year. He ran for 700 yards and 5 touchdowns last year. Those are huge numbers, and it's not like he's playing in little town Utah. That's Corner Canyon. Now, they lost to
Sky Ridge
yeah. in the state championship, but Sky Ridge is just loaded with college talent, as is Corner Canyon. But Isaac Wilson is a fantastic quarterback. And that is a gigantic win for the University of Utah.
Well, and that's how I look at it, and that's what we talked about a little bit yesterday. Look, I'm not a guy that's going to come on here and like, Isaac Wilson's going to do this, this, and this, and this. I'm not going to be that guy because I'm not going to project what a kid did at the high school level and say that's going to translate to the next level. I don't know how great he'll be. I know that there's obviously great genetics, great background, great work ethic. There's a lot going on that will give him the tools hopefully necessary to be successful.
That allows you to at least be more comfortable saying he should, but you don't know.
Yeah. But what I do know is that if Kyle Whittingham walks into a lot of living rooms and can say, your son is a great safety, come play to me because I put safeties in the NFL. Your son's a great defensive lineman, come play for me because I'm going to put him in the NFL. He really can't go into home and say, you're a quarterback, come play for me because I'm going to put him in the NFL. Because he hasn't done that. And so that's the one thing that Kyle Whittingham needs to be able to add to his resume is that he can develop and build great quarterback play. Now, Cam Rising's been fantastic.
He's one healthy season away from
the NFL.
Yeah.
And Andy Ludwig has been awesome. So you see that tide starting to turn. So for Kyle Whittingham to be able to go into a kid whose brother was the number two overall pick who came out of BYU and say, I want you to come play quarterback for me because you can be successful, you can win games, you can win Pac-12 championships, and we're going to get you to the NFL. And the kid goes, bam, let's go.
Yeah.
That's a big win for the University of Utah. That's how I looked at that story.
Yep.
Now, I don't know how good he's going to be. I hope he is because I want local kids to be successful wherever they go. And so, it should be fun to see how that turns out.
And it's undeniable. University of Utah is still a recruiting juggernaut. They are a recruiting beast. And it doesn't matter if the Pac-12 dissolves and Utah ends up in the Big 12. It doesn't matter where they end up. those coaches, they have an incredible ability to recruit. And I'm watching it close. I see what they do. I know how they handle their business. And it's elite.
Yep.
They're very good at it. Yep. And that's a big win.
All right, Hans and Scotty, we are live here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale. Brand spanking new location. Austin's with us. What, you guys have been just open for what? A matter of days, right?
Matter of hours. We just opened at 11 this morning.
So this is the first day.
This is the first day.
Holy smokes. You got to be kidding me.
What's that like opening up a new place?
Oh, man. It's you imagine all the construction woes and all those pushbacks and date movings. But, yeah, the team and the vendors and our partners just all came together and made this happen. It's awesome.
Well, it's a great location, too. If you're anywhere on I-15, you just get off that Bangor exit and head west. You're going to come up to the Redwood exit. Yep. Just get off that Redwood exit. You're going to see the gigantic Fat Cats building right off of Bangor. Just get off that Redwood exit, and it's really quick. And we've got $10 gift cards that are actually $20 today because it's half off. So you got $10 gift cards that Austin is giving out for free.
Yeah.
They're right here on our table.
Yeah, actually, a little clarify. They are for the arcade only. So, yeah, half off arcade our first 2 weeks. Those $10 arcade cards turn into $20 arcade cards. Redeem those for you get your tickets. You go turn those in for some awesome prizes.
And great food. Obviously, you've got the luxury theaters. You've got mini golf. I mean, this is one-stop shop. If you just want to go catch the latest movie, boom, you're here. If you want something to do with the family, you want it to go bowling, you got it. Mini golf, arcade. Like, there's really nowhere else you need to be going this summer with your kids.
Yeah, all your entertainment under one roof. You can get over here and see. Take your kids to go see The Little Mermaid. Probably not your demo listening to this, but, hey, we all have daughters. You got to bring them out, so you can go see Fast 10. You got some awesome movies. Still have Mario even. So, yeah, you mentioned the luxury seats. We bring your food right to your seats. You just go order at the grill, and it's awesome.
So you go order at the grill, and then you just go sit down in their seats, and the food will come right to you.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So you don't have to be juggling, and then you get to the food, and then you get to the ticket, so you got the food in one hand, and you're reaching in and getting the ticket and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if your kids are like mine. They're immune to helping carry stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, this solves that issue.
What's your favorite thing out of the grill? Your pizzas are great, man.
Dude, me lover's pizza all the time.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great pizza.
Nice. I'm going to have to find out about that a little bit later.
I wouldn't hurt anybody if one showed up.
Yeah, hey, I got you. I'll bring you a pizza if you start liking the Eagles, though.
Oh, I am. I'm coming around. Like Scotty said, I'm working on it.
Just say you like the Eagles.
I love the Eagles.
There
you know what's crazy?
That was hard.
Got tickets to their reunion tour.
Yes.
Got to refinance your house for that one.
Yeah.
Well, come on by here. 13901 Bangor.
No, Redwood.
Or Redwood. Sorry, Redwood.
Yes.
Sorry. You know what? Look, I'm a bountiful guy. Like, I still got to get my geography down
here. You can see it right off Bangor. Bangor just runs right
Bangor
next
to and Redwood.
Yep. Bangor and Redwood. Get down here. Say hi. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, kicking off your 1 o'clock hour. We're down here in Bluffdale, 13901 Redwood. It is Fat Cats. Come by, hang out with us. Let's go. I got $10 gift cards to the arcade to everybody who stops by. By the way, big thanks to this guy. Got some chocolate cinnamon bears. What are those?
I don't even know if I want to say it.
Tell me.
I'll give you half the chocolate dipped Oreos for half your chocolate dipped cinnamon bears.
Yeah, that's. I'll give you all of these.
You want to just go
straight across?
Straight across.
Done.
You like those chocolate dipped Oreos?
I'll do the chocolate dipped Oreos.
That is a beautiful
and
thing.
And the popcorn to be named later.
Yeah, Descendant chocolate cashew caramel corn. Ooh. Oh, sorry. Decadent.
Descendant.
It's been handed down from generation to generation.
Generation to generation.
Until it's descendant
to descendant.
Hey, I know we got Mitch hanging on the line. I need your help with something, though, here. Because I've been reading this Mitch Bargatze liner. So how would you read that? Tickets on Snell now for
the Be Funny.
The Be Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's how about just for the, because it's actually, it's just called Be Funny.
Yeah. So it'd be,
but they put
for the Be
the
Funny
outside the parentheses.
Yeah. That'd be better.
Yeah.
It would make it less confusing.
Because it goes now for the Be Funny. The
yeah.
Be Funny.
Yeah, because if it's named The Be Funny, then
yeah.
It should be the Be Funny.
Yeah, which made no sense. So I was like, I finally sent it over to somebody and be like, can you help me with this? It's called the Be Funny Tour. Okay, well, then take the out of it.
You've heard this guy, though? You think?
Oh, he's actually
funny?
Really funny. Yeah. Okay. Nate Bargatze. All right, let's get to him. Man himself, Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com and overall good tune. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, Mitch.
Doing great, guys. Other than my I didn't realize there was a thing for elementary kids when they finish their school year, the parents have to give them gifts.
Oh, dude.
Even though at the end of third grade. So my kids, and I bring this up because, Scotty, I know you'll appreciate this because you tweeted about it a few weeks ago. My kids have been desperately begging for this new flavor of Prime.
Oh,
lemonade.
Yeah.
Lemonade Prime. So we gifted my kids today, ending third grade, Lemonade Prime. So my bank account is just diving into Prime every single day. That's all my kids want, Prime.
This Prime drink is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And especially boys from the ages of, like, you're right, third grade to about 7th or 8th grade, it's like cigarettes in prison for these kids.
What is it? Why have I not heard of it?
It's the Paul brothers, or one of the Paul brothers.
Yeah.
Who started it's like Gatorade. Have you tried it, Mitch? It's really,
I have. It's like a coconut water, but it's supposed to be low calorie. I don't see the hype around it, but
no.
Every kid just loves it. They can't get enough of it. So I'm for the first time in my life hitting up a GNC. They're like, why are you rolling into this place, bitch? But I'm hitting up GNC for Prime bottles all the time now.
These kids, man, and it's just the marketing genius of the Paul brothers. And it's like, it's a status symbol. If one of these kids comes, you know, has a bottle of Prime, I mentioned, like, these kids are like, once they get a bottle, they won't throw it away. They'll put water into it and carry it around school because people think they're cool because they got a bottle of Prime. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Why? I can't even believe I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's insane.
Are they expensive?
They're really expensive.
Yeah.
I actually bought a case of 18 at Costco, and I have Brody selling it at school. For $5 a bottle, and he's actually getting some money on it.
Are you serious?
He gets a nice return on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, why not start your entrepreneurship right away?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to sell them because he wants to keep them. I'm like, Dad, I just want them.
No, like, stop drinking your...
You can't partake of your product. Come on. what did we learn from...
Fawn's Fudge Factory.
Well...
Oh. No, we
learned lots of things about Fawn's Fudge Factory.
You're talking about Beating Bad?
Breaking Bad, yeah. What? Anyway. All right. Mitch, we got a lot to talk about. How big of a blow was it for BYU on Isaac Wilson? Because Patrick Kinahan mentioned that maybe BYU wasn't as high on maybe Isaac Wilson as many people thought.
That's true. And you know, I think the interest was definitely cooling off from BYU's end. I think they knew that they were going to be kind of buried on that top six that Isaac Wilson had. And Utah was, you know, once the calendar year turned to, you know, 2023, it became Utah was starting to be the favorite. And, you know, it was evidence too. BYU the last few months has offered quite a few more quarterbacks. Demarcus Davis from California is someone that I would say right now is probably BYU's number one quarterback target in the 2024 class now. They've also offered Enoch Watson, a quarterback who's being coached by Ty Detmer and Max Hall in Arizona. And then there's also a quarterback out at Granger High School who was previously at De La Salle High School. He's now at Granger High, kind of an interesting prospect. The name escapes me at the moment. I don't want to mess it up, but they've offered quite a few quarterbacks. And so it was not a surprise to anyone around BYU. I think, but from a standpoint for the BYU fan base, it hurts to lose the Wilson because there was that feeling of that family was, you know, dyed in the wool. Now BYU, they flipped to the blue, and they were going to always go to BYU. But big shoes for Isaac to possibly have to follow into Zach's footsteps and be the quarterback there. And, you know, and I think that Isaac goes to a Utah program where, you know, I know Utah hasn't had the greatest track record with high-profile recruits like Tuttle and Peter Castelli, but, you know, he could go in there and maybe have a chance to compete at least for the number one job. I think he would have been given that chance at BYU, too. But BYU really likes guys like Jake Retzlaff and Ryder Burton for the future right now, and then they've got those targets who I mentioned. So I don't think it's as big of a blow for BYU. They kind of saw this coming quite a few months ago.
So in terms of them seeing this coming, Mitch, was that kind of them getting word that he was hot on Utah's trail, or why did they cool off on him from what you've heard or what you know?
I think it was just a feeling of they wanted to have, because with quarterback timelines with recruits, it's starting to dry up. I mean, the high-profile four-star recruits, they make their decisions before their junior year pretty much ends. I mean, everything in the recruiting calendar is just moving up so fast. It's rare now that a quarterback goes into the summer before their senior year and they're still on the board as an uncommitted prospect. So I think that they had to make contingency plans. I think there's always been this belief of if you're going to be invested into a quarterback, you almost have one or two guys and you put all your resources into them. And if you get any sort of intel that leads you to believe that you're not the favorite, you've got to make contingency plans because some of these other guys are going to go off the board. I mean, that Demarcus Davis from California, he's lining up his official visits coming up to places like Washington, Arizona in the coming weeks. And BYU's got to find a way to get him on an official visit in June. I mean, June official visits were not a thing, just a couple years ago. So everything's just moving up in a timely manner. And you don't want to be left in a spot to where you have no quarterback in this cycle. BYU a couple years ago had back-to-back recruiting classes where they didn't sign a high school quarterback. And that's where it led to this year. It was so critical to go get a grad transferring Keaton Slovis because they just haven't armed themselves with many high school quarterback prospects, you know, waiting in the wings. So I just think it's something where the timeline has been expedited, and I think that they wanted to make the contingency plans in place that if they were left behind, which there was indications that it were, that Utah was emerging as a favorite, that they were not going to be left, you know, kind of going, oh, no, we don't have any quarterback in this cycle, because at Power 5 football, you got to have, I think, at least one quarterback in every single cycle from the high school ranks still.
The reason, one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on, because I thought this was fantastic by BYU and a great idea, and I'm sure, I know a couple other schools have started it, and I'm sure that this is going to catch like wildfire, but a essentially transfer portal combine to essentially bring people in that are in the transfer portal to essentially get a workout in and get some evaluation. essentially say, hey, look, if you can get to Provo and kick us $50, we'll work you out and give you a shot. Kind of give us the genesis of this, and I know you wrote a story about it at KSLSports.com, but I think this is a great opportunity for BYU to get some eyes on maybe some potential guys that may have slipped through the cracks.
It is a unique idea, and I think it's going to become the new trend, and it continues to show that how big of a hold that the transfer portal has on recruiting. But, you know, BYU, by my unofficial count right now, they've got, and I've been close tracking this closely, they've got 83 of their 85 scholarships locked down for 2023. So they're going into the June camp season of recruiting with about two scholarships left on the board for 2023. And you've kind of gotten to a point with the transfer portal where the instant impact guys, they're off the board, they're gone, they've already been locked down to other schools. The rest become a situation where it's projection-based. They become, you know, those maybe last few scholarship guys or maybe some preferred walk-on options. And you're probably not going to spend resources to go visit them. So why not find a way to get these guys on the campus, give them a chance to have a trial, because they don't want to be left in the portal forever. They want to have another opportunity to play a high level of football. BYU is now going to be in a Power 5 league at the Big 12. It's a great option for all parties involved. And I think that, you know, Nebraska was kind of the trendsetter with this. They were the one that first, from what I saw, created this back in the spring. They announced it, and I think a lot of schools have followed. Colorado has followed. Even Utah is going to have a camp coming up here in June, from what I understand. BYU as well. So this is going to become the new norm in college football to another evolution in the transfer portal. And I think if BYU can find a way to fill those scholarships, to bring more competitive depth, bring a guy that's going to kind of iron sharpens iron in a position room, I think that just helps. And I just think that this staff, what's been impressive with BYU staff, the recruiting efforts are a complete 180 from what it's been in the past. And I just think a testament to Jay Hill. His recruiting background has always been top shelf. I mean, you guys know that, but his days at Utah, he was one of the best recruiters in the Pac-12 conference in Utah's early days in that league. And his connections around the West and in Texas are top shelf. And I think the recruiting operation at BYU, there's still room to grow, of course, but I think Jay Hill's changing the game for how BYU attacks recruiting. And I just think they're not going to leave any stone unturned. And this transfer portal camp coming up in June, two different camps, will be another opportunity for BYU to find a way to round out their roster and bring as much talent and speed and possible depth that you could possibly have on that roster.
So, Mitch, you mentioned Jay Hill and his recruiting ability, and you and I both know that BYU's defensive talent isn't where he needs it to be or expected it to be. And he's gone heavy to try to bring in some good defensive talent to try to pick up that pass rush and to fill this system that he's trying to install. Do you believe that Jay Hill has picked up the personnel that he can effectively run that defense to a point that he can at least slow down, what, five, maybe six of the top offenses in the country?
I think so, Hans. I think that Jay Hill has improved the talent a lot for BYU. And I think even some of the returning lettermen, guys that were carried over from the previous seasons that are returning, they're going to be part of this group. I think there's enough there. I mean, there's still going to be some games where BYU is going to give up a lot of yards and probably a lot of points, because I think there's some good offenses in the Big 12. I don't think the quarterback play in the Big 12 is that great this year. I don't think it's as deep as maybe many Cougar fans might believe. And I think that lends itself to some opportunities to surprise people. But I think the talent in the trenches has gotten better. I mean, it was a low bar. I mean, BYU's defensive line last year, I thought was, the last few years, I think has not been good at all. Since Tyrus Tonga left, there's been nothing really inspiring from BYU's defensive line. And a lot of that was probably scheme. But I think Tyler Batty's improved a lot. And I think that, you know, he's someone that's gotten down to about 3%, 4% body fat. He looked lean and spring ball. And you thought almost like, did he lose a bunch of weight? But he's maintained a lot of that weight. It's just he's trimmed down the body fat percentage for him. And I think Zay Banya, I think, you know, he's got to become more of an all-around, you know, he's going to be that outside edge where Batty's going to be more of that full rusher. I think that's a nice tandem to start with. And I think Atu Naisimahe in the interior, Jackson Cravens coming in from Boise State. There's some good, there's enough there, I think, for BYU that they can be a little bit better than expected. I still think it's a work in progress for Jay Hill, and I think he would tell you that they still got a long way to go in terms of what he wants it to eventually become in the Big 12. But I think that Cougar fans are going to be a lot more pleased with the product defensively this year. And I think that what they've done with getting A.J. Vongpachana, that was a good addition. Eddie Heckert, I think, got a real big potential at cornerback. He could be that nickel corner as well with five defensive backs. I think there's enough there that the depth is a lot better. I think this roster as a whole on defense is a lot better than what it was a year ago.
What's your realistic win-loss expectations for next year? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. I'm certainly not holding you to it, but you know, where are you at on next year?
You know, I put out my game-by-game predictions on the site a couple weeks back, and I kind of went bold a little bit. I'm saying 7-5. And here's the thing, that's, I think, maybe the bold aspect to that. I think 7 wins is bold. But I actually have BYU starting 5-0. I think BYU can jump out of the gate early and get off to a hot start. I think the schedule is pretty manageable. I mean, Arkansas is going to have one of the best backfields in the SEC this year. But, you know, Kalani Sitake had a great track record in revenge games at BYU. He's done a really nice job in those spots. I think they could somehow pull an upset against Arkansas. I'm calling for 7 wins for BYU this year, and that might be a little bit higher than probably most projections. I think it's okay to say, you know, 5-6, but I'm going to go a little bit higher, and I think a lot of that is because I'm really high on the offensive line, the addition of Caleb Etienne. And then you turn Braden Kime probably into a backup, and I thought he was well on his way to being the starting right tackle for BYU on an offensive line with Kingsley Suamataia. I think that offensive line is where it all starts. That's going to create opportunities for Keaton Slovis to have more success. I'm not completely sold yet on Slovis. I got a little bit more cautiously optimistic with him after spring, but I think the ground attack is better than what BYU has been in many years. I think it might be the best running back unit, at least in terms of depth. I don't know if you still got that superstar at the top like a Tyler Allgeier, but I think in terms of depth, I think it's one of the better running back units he's had in probably a quarter century since the days of Ronnie Jenkins and Brian McKinnon. I think Aiden Robbins, Deion Smith, Hinkley Fulau-Rapati, that's a pretty good trio. And then you bring in L.J. Martin, who was a high school freshman that leader Aaron Roderick said in the spring, I would not be surprised if he comes in and competes right away. And that staff doesn't say those sort of things unless they mean it. So I think there's some really good depth in the backfield, and that offensive line, I think, is getting close to being where they feel really sound, you know, 8, 9, 10 deep at that offensive line group.
Well, that 7-win prediction would mean 5 conference wins because you've got the – You had Sam Houston and Southern Utah that I think you checked both those boxes, and we'll see what happens with Arkansas, but you probably favor Arkansas in their home stadium. That would mean 5 conference victories, and we'll see if they can do it, Mitch.
That's a hell of a year, first year.
It would be a great year.
Yeah.
If they could do that, Mitch, it'd be a great year.
It would be, and I think it's a lot of that's going to rest on the health of the team, and it might be a little bit bullish on that. But I just think, again, the dynamics of the schedule early on is what really makes me believe BYU could have some success. Because from TCU on down to the season finale at Oklahoma State, I could see each one of those games being a loss. I mean, Iowa State, I think, is going to be much better this year. I mean, Iowa State's coming off a 4-win season, but they're a very young team. I think that defense is going to still be one of the best in the Big 12. I mean, it's going to be challenging, but I feel like there's opportunities early on, and if BYU can find a way to stay healthy, and I feel like BYU's kind of been wired to be kind of an early fast starter with their seasons. They're always the team that we're talking about a ton in September, and then they fade out in November. That's obviously going to change from a standpoint of the matchups they've got in November. But I like the potential of them jumping out to a fast start and having two games out of the gate where you are going to be sizable favorites. And I think that can help them create a spot where they could have that Arkansas, Kansas, and Cincinnati stretch where they could, you know, pull some upsets and get out to a really fast start and then try to really grind their way to clinching that bowl eligibility in the last, you know, 6 to 7 games.
All right. Well, Mitch, always a pleasure, man. It's good catching up with you. Enjoy your weekend, and let's do this again soon, okay?
Thanks, Mitch.
You bet, guys. Always happy to hop on.
Oh, and by the way, it just gets more and more expensive, bud. Buying a couple of drinks is going to turn into $8,000 dance lessons.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Enjoy.
No, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Thanks, Mitch.
See you, guys.
You know, it doesn't matter. And by the way, Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. It doesn't matter if your kid plays sports. It doesn't matter if they're in the orchestra. It doesn't matter what they do. Dance, cheer, whatever. Somebody out there is going to be taking all your money. Right. Just be prepared for it.
And it doesn't matter how you feel about it either.
Yeah, and you have to pay it.
Yep.
Or you're a bad dad.
100%.
Yep. All right. Austin's hanging out with us. We're live here at Fat Cat's brand new location, 13901 Redwood Road in Bluffdale. It is, you know, normally sometimes people have their, like, their big grand opening celebration, but they do, like, that soft open for, you know, 3 weeks, get their legs underneath them. You guys are like, uh-uh. We're going to open up today, and we're just going to blow it up, and we're going to go crazy on day one.
Yeah, what a perfect start to Memorial Day weekend is getting this grand opening. Yeah, we started this morning at 11, so, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to do. Come on down.
Well, Austin, you just rolled out a couple of Meat Lover pizzas for us. These look amazing.
It's what I had for lunch, and I'll probably have it for dinner too.
You know what? This is not – when you think of, like, go to a movie theater or, like, a place like this pizza – you're thinking somebody back where you know threw a Tostino's in a oven for 5 minutes. This is gourmet pizza here, man. Yeah. This is no joke.
Yeah, all made to order. Yeah, we have a few different varieties of that, and even the cauliflower crust is pretty good. It's one of my favorite ones.
Okay, so I know you've got plenty of bowling lanes. You got some lanes open. If people start flooding in, it's first come first serve on the bowling lanes.
Yeah, first come first serve. Yeah, it looks like that. Got plenty of them. Just come on down. Yeah, plenty of room to get started.
And we got the amazing arcades over here and $10 gift cards that we're giving to every person that comes in. So if you've got a couple of kids, we've had some fathers and sons and some fathers and daughters. We had a mom come in with her 4 kids. Everybody's going to get a $10 gift card to go over and enjoy the arcade. And that $10 at the arcade today is worth $20.
Yeah, for our first 2 weeks, our grand opening special, we're going to do half off arcade. That's for 2 weeks.
So whatever you need to do, you've got all the new releases on movies. Mm-hmm. So luxury theater, you've got the mini golf, you've got the arcade where we're giving you $10 gift cards. You've got the bowling alleys. You can just come by, grab a bite to eat and watch whatever games on ESPN. I mean, there's no reason people shouldn't be coming down here.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have the 3 big projector screens at the end of the bowling lane. So, yeah, any of the playoff games that's coming up. But, yeah, we always show the awesome sports.
Oh, geez, man.
That's fun, huh?
That's awesome.
Huge projection screens. And I've come in and bowled while they've got NFL games on and fights on and all kinds of great stuff.
This is the place to be. It's now in Bluffdale. It's Fat Cats. We want you to come by. We want you to hang out with us. Let's go. Let's have some fun. All kinds of great stuff. And we're giving away $10 arcade gift cards, which, again, as Hans mentioned, with half-off arcades, we're essentially giving you $20 gift cards for everybody who comes by. Bring down your family of 4. We'll hook you all up. It's all right here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on The Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, that pizza is no joke.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Just a good classic.
It's good stuff, man. That does not suck at all. Hey, by the way, let's give away some tickets right now. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze at the Delta Center coming up on September 30th. So, again, caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Well, Scotty, RSL got past Colorado. They were able to beat them in the round of 16. That means that they now advance, and they'll be taking on the LA Galaxy in the quarterfinals. The LA Galaxy, they were able to get past LAFC, outscored them 2-0 in the round of 16. So you're going to see RSL now take on the Galaxy a couple of times in just a matter of a few days. Kind of like what happened with Colorado, the Colorado Rapids. RSL played Colorado in MLS play, and then they played them in cup play, and they got it taken care of. So RSL now advancing to take on the LA Galaxy in the round of 8.
Let's go. Let's go, man.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Fired up.
They just keep winning. They got off that no-score train, and they
just
started,
needed to play Colorado.
They just needed to play Colorado. I guess they just hate Colorado. So now Real take on the Galaxy 2 times in just a week's time.
Yeah.
Just like they did with Colorado, or similar to what they did with Colorado.
So the scoring woes of RSL is now officially behind them.
Apparently.
Unless they play somebody other than Colorado.
Because they put up 3 goals against Colorado.
Yeah. No, this is cool. If they make it to the championship, we will be there.
Absolutely. We will be there, and we will be excited.
Yes. I told Trey, I'm like, hey, do we have some kits you could send our way? And he's like, yeah, we don't have really that many X's in our sizes. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I appreciate that.
How do they ever expect big men to be a fan of soccer?
You know, we know there's a bunch of Tanner and McKays out there that are, you know, mediums that can wear your kits. But, you know, they need to make a kit for a huskier fella.
What's wrong with making a 4X Umbro?
Come on.
What's wrong with it?
I think it would be smart. They're like, you know. We just don't have enough fabric, apparently. No, I'm kidding.
I want one of those. Is it Hostess?
Oh, the word says Bimbo?
Yeah, Bimbo. Yes. The bread company.
We joke about that because that was the game you and I went to. What was it, like 2012, 11? The CONCACAF?
9?
Yeah, it may have been before that.
8?
All right.
7?
Let's.
It was a long time ago.
It was a minute ago. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Remember, as always, brought to you by Zero Res right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And Zero Res from Nephi to Ogden, just $33 per room. Schedule in May and get a fourth room clean for free. Go to it's all available online at ZeroRes.com. Well, Shannon Sharp, home in L.A. was burglarized last week. And the cops say the thieves made off with about $1 million. Between 7 and 9:30, Sharp had left his place for a few hours. And when he returned home after dinner, noticed that the place didn't look right. Expensive watches, jewelry, some designer bags. Oh, Shannon, what are you doing with designer bags? Come on. According to law enforcement, there were no obvious signs of forced entry. Ooh, inside job. No arrests have been made, but make no mistake, he is not happy about it. He has offered up a $50,000 reward for info regarding to an arrest and conviction. Maybe his Louis got taken.
If somebody broke into your house right now, how much could they escape with?
Like $25. I'm telling you, collectively, there might be some stuff, but I don't have any, like, big-ticket items at all. Like, there's nothing of it, like, oh, you want to haul out a couch that I got a great deal from Tom at the warehouse on? Like, You know, like...
Don't hurt my dogs. Leave my dogs alone. You might be able to get out of my house with $200, maybe $300.
I mean, I bought my TV at Costco for like $400.
You steal my computer, you're going to return it within a week because you're going to see how slow it runs. You're going to be like,
hey, man,
this is stupid.
This 2012 Dell. Like,
that's what it is. I think it's like a 2011 or 12. And it has a really bad sound it makes. They'd return it because it would keep them up at night.
I mean, probably the most expensive items I own are my smokers in the back, and I don't see those guys wheeling that up the hill in the backyard.
Those are heavy.
Yeah.
They're definitely not going to take those. They would get into my book collection and be like, Guinness Book of World Records. Those aren't worth
anything. Who's Porter Rockwell? I don't know. That's the thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't have anything. Now, look, you know, outside of maybe a computer or two, that's about it.
There's just nothing. And here they are breaking into Shannon Sharp's house, and apparently he's got $1 million sitting in his front room for people to scoop up in jewelry and other things.
Does a man, like, because Jenny's not even, like,
oh,
God bless her. She doesn't care about jewelry. I mean, she has jewelry, but hardly any money on it.
I would laugh my butt off thinking those dudes have a bunch of cubics that they think.
CZs for days, man.
They're going to take in for some drug money and try to exchange it at some pawn shop. The pawner's going to be like, yeah, man, that's essentially glass. That's not diamonds. But apparently that's not how Shannon Sharp rolls. Okay, but if I had burglars come into my house and take a few things, I am going to say, I think it was $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe $1 million.
Well,
million,
I mean,
and a half.
What you're talking about is insurance fraud. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, Shannon, show us the pictures.
Some guy walks into my house. I'm like, yeah, dude, I had like 5 Louis Vuitton bags. And they're like, what does it look like? What do Louis Vuitton bags look like? Will they hold stuff? And they have a handle?
He's going back to watch the movie Legally Blonde. They're pink with a brown strap.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. We'd be in trouble there. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, sad story here. A college baseball player died after he was struck in the face when a makeshift dugout he was helping to disassemble collapsed on him. Angel Mercado was a middle infielder. He just completed his freshman year at Central Penn College. The coach of the team had built a makeshift dugout out of wood on Sunday, but city officials told him it wasn't allowed. So a group of players were dismantling the structure. When it unexpectedly collapsed, he was struck in the face, suffered traumatic head injuries. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Was taken to a hospital where he died. City spokesman said nothing criminal happened here. No charge will be filed against the coach. No charge will be filed against anybody. Simply a tragedy. This is why the city's making you tear the thing down, is because it sounds like you didn't know what you were doing, for crying out loud.
Yeah. What do you think about the no charges?
I think you ought to look into this a little bit more.
I guess if it's just a terrible accident, it's a terrible accident. But you're not supposed to put that thing. You know, it's just tough. You're not there. We don't know what that structure was. We know that it was a makeshift dugout. All I know is if I send my kid off to college and he's this achieving college athlete, and I get a call that he's dead because the coach built a structure that wasn't stable, and my kid's dead because they were trying to help take it down, I would want answers.
Yes.
And a simple mistake doesn't feel right because somebody put that up.
Yeah.
And somebody was having my kid take it down, and should my kid really have been involved in that?
Yeah. Hey, look, it doesn't matter if you're sending your kid to Alabama or, in this case, Central Penn College. When this is close to home because you have athletes that you're sending to college, and you're sending them to a coach who's come into your home and interacted with you and told you, hey, your kids will be safe with me. I will do my best to take care and protect your children as you send them off to college.
Yeah.
And you've entrusted them to have their best interests in mind, and you would certainly hope that that would be the case. And obviously horrible things happen, but this seemed like it could be unavoided.
It's a heartbreaker, man. Angel Mercado, 19 years old, yeah, and an accomplished athlete, and this is where we're at. It's a terrible story.
All right, a little whole world news coming up next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are live here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale. Stop by, and let's get you squared away. If you want to hang out with us, all right, well, let's be honest. You don't really want to hang out with us, but if you want to check out Fat Cats, you should. 13901 South Redwood Road in Bluffdale. You come by, we'll give you a $10 gift card to the arcade. They've got the mini golf. They've got the bowling. They've got movies. They've got great food. It's all available for you here at Fat Cats. 13901 South Redwood Road in Bluffdale on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The one and only Coach Tim Lacombe. Would you actively try and trade up for either Miller or Scoot?
I think the Jazz are in a good place regardless. Those first three picks are pretty set. I mean, there's a lot of really talented dudes. So I would say, hey, if you see somebody that you really can't live without and you've got the means to do it, you know, Ainge has always been really great at identifying that guy. And so if there is that guy and they can move, they've got the power to do so. But I think they're in a great place. I think with the assets, the current players they have under contract, and however it falls out, you know, they're going to get really talented dudes in this spot. So the options there to move, and Brandon Miller, Scoot have ability. They have things that could make them franchise type guys, but I don't know if you can like put that label on them right now. So it really just comes down to there's somebody that you covet greatly, man, you go after them.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is Whole World News on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe to try to find some random story that hopefully you like. We stay away from sports during this segment. And Hans, I'm going to take you to Kentucky. You ready?
So we take 5 seconds away from sports.
Yes.
Oh, kill us.
And everybody's like, stick to sports, guys. What's wrong with you?
It's 5 seconds.
Come on. We're going to be all right.
Have a little fun.
All right. So look, violence is never the answer, right? But there are certain things that you can think of. Yeah, you better hide those.
No.
There are certain things that you can think of where you might like, okay, what would bring you to violence? Like, I know I'm not saying it's right, but there are certain things that...
Somebody touching my chocolate-covered cinnamon bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Mama came by and tried to snag your cinnamon bears.
That won't
Amanda,
work.
And you... slapped her hand.
To actual violence?
Like?
It would be somebody, yeah.
Coming after your family,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Well, this man is a Kentucky man. Clifton Williams, age 64, was arrested on Sunday and charged with second-degree assault. He shot a man. Man is fine. He's okay. But he shot a man. Why? It's actually his roommate who sustained non-life-threatening injuries and a gunshot wound because this man stole his last Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
The roommate, again, who has not been named, apparently stole the last Hot Pocket from Clifton Williams, again, age 64. According to a police citation, the two roommates got into a physical fight over the frozen sandwich. Mr. Williams got mad. Here's the quote. Mr. Williams got mad because he ate the last Hot Pocket. And he began throwing kitchen utensils at this individual. The victim attempted to fight back and threatened Williams and then left the scene. Well, Williams then got a gun, followed his roommate outside where he shot him in the buttocks. The police document said he got shot in the butt for eating the man's hot pocket. Under Kentucky law, a person convicted of second-degree assault could be sentenced up to 5 to 10 years in prison.
Something bit me. I'd like to see that someday, son. Okay.
All right. Look.
Hold on.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
You had college roommates.
Correct.
And you got your food stolen.
Yes.
Weren't you on the verge?
Yes.
Of going bananas?
Yeah. You know, when you're that guy that you draw the little line on your milk to make sure, like, this is my level where I'm at.
Yes.
If it drops below it, I know it was one of you, Jack Wagons.
Yeah.
Man, there were multiple... that's when you know you got bad roommates.
Yeah.
You have to draw a line.
There were so many times where I went ballistic on people. And I'm not even saying that I wasn't the offender before. I may have eaten a thing or two that wasn't mine.
I think it was open season for you on people's food.
Is there a bit of responsibility on the offender? A bit. He ate the Hot Pocket.
I know. That's why I said that. Is this justifiable?
To a certain degree, but...
Okay, now here's the thing. If it's one of those...
Lethal force.
Okay, if it's one of the pizza Hot Pockets, I'm going to let that slide. I'm going to be mad. If it's the ham and cheese one, we got problems.
Nonsense, because when he goes there to eat it, he wants it to be there to eat it. I don't care if it's not a good one.
So, Lloyd, are you taking a hard line on this, that it was deserved?
It was deserved.
Oh,
absolutely.
No.
I mean, shooting him in the buttocks is a little bit... a little much, but...
Buttocks.
But come on.
Something bit me.
But you can't be taking your roommate's food. Because when you're hungry, you're hungry. You know what it's like to be hangry.
I had about 12 Dr. Peppers.
Agape.
Agape.
Yeah, well, look, in Hot Pockets, I mean, come on. Hot Pockets are awesome. You don't mess around with another man's Hot Pocket.
Do they still have the sheath?
The sleeve?
Yeah.
I believe they do.
Actually, you're wrong.
Wait, what?
Not the ones that we get here.
But no, when we were raiding, remember when the fifth floor, when they had all that stuff in that fifth floor, they didn't have the sleeve?
Yeah, the ones that you saw, the ones that I've been getting, they don't have that. You pop them out of that plastic thing and you just microwave them.
Well, how do you cook them now?
Yeah,
you gotta have the little
put them on for 2 minutes and they work just great.
No, you gotta have the silver sleeve or they don't cook.
I'm telling you, it does cook, and it's fine.
Was that just a thing we were all led to believe that they had to be in the sleeve in the microwave, and it wasn't true all along?
I hope.
Yeah,
not.
And they're just cutting costs now.
That seems so deceiving.
Wow.
I used to get so mad when people would eat my food. I would never shoot somebody with a gun
in the buttocks.
But you could ask Scotty Brown next time he's on.
All right. But how much of Scotty Brown's food did you eat?
Because I
would imagine
a lot.
Yeah.
A lot, but what mine was, you weren't supposed to eat mine.
So now when he gets a fight, you just tell him, well, you owe me.
I would imagine, let's say you come back from Weezer, you spend the weekend at home, Clark and Fawn, you have a good time, and she sends you back with a box of turtles, and you open those things up, and half of them are gone, and you see Scotty with a little chocolate on the corners of his mouth.
Something would have bit him.
Well, we know this would never happen because those wouldn't even make it home. So
they would have made it in the car.
They wouldn't make it home. No. So that's a made-up story. There's no way that could ever happen.
I'd have torched those turtles before Declo.
I do think it's funny how, like, didn't your wife try to get in your chocolate? Or you got it? No, you got into her supply.
Yeah, I found a one-pound box of chocolates. I took the whole thing. it was a bad...
And she had hit it from you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not good.
It was bad. Hard thing to get through.
All right. Austin's with us. All right. So Austin was kind enough to bring by a couple of the pizzas.
These are good.
These meat lover pizzas. I don't know if it's worth shooting somebody if somebody steals one of your pizzas here from Fat Cats, but it's getting close because these things are great.
It's on the line for it. I don't know about shooting someone in the butt for it. and never steal your wife's chocolate. I've had that backfire on me many times.
Yeah, it's not smart. It's not smart. Hey, I saw the burgers come out. I saw the chicken fingers come out. You guys have great chicken fingers.
Yeah, those are the fries. Have you had the fries? Those are my favorite thing. They have this fry sampler. Comes with four different kinds of fries.
Whoa.
And all these sauces.
Like, what kind of fries? Like, how do you...
Oh, they got
different cuts or
what? Yeah, different cuts of fries. They got sweet potato fries. They have these waffle ones. My favorite, they have this Asian Thai dipping sauce. It's the best with the fries.
Wow.
I love it. So here's the deal. If you've never been to a Fat Cats, we're giving you a great opportunity to come down. We're going to give you a $10 gift card. That $10 is actually worth $20 in the arcade, and you're going to get that for free just for coming down. We want people to experience Fat Cats, because when it showed up in Saratoga Springs in my community, it took me probably 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks to get down there. When I got down there, I'm like, what took me so long? The theaters have all luxury seating. Food is delivered to your seating. You've got bowling and mini golf and so many great arcade games. It's just the perfect place to come for a family, Austin.
Yeah, and they have the best popcorn here. We do the loyalty buckets, you know, $25 gets you $3 refills for the whole year. And that's, I mean, best thing, best pairings, movies and popcorn.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. You got popcorn, but you got the pizzas, and it's delivered right to your seat. You don't have to worry about trying to juggle it all in your hands while you're getting to your seat. It's all brought to you. You've got the bowling alleys. You've got the arcade. I mean, this is, I mean, Memorial Day weekend. This is the best way to spend it.
Yeah, we have all the first-run movies. Little Mermaid comes out. We still have Fast 10. We got Mario. We still got the new Guardians. So plenty of good movies to choose from, too.
And that's the thing. I mean, these are new releases, too. Yeah. It's not like your movie's been out for 6 months and then it kicks over to you guys. I mean, you've got the latest releases ready to go.
It's top-end stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And Scotty, it is my theater. It's where I go. I love it.
Yeah.
Because of the luxury seating and because of the food delivery. And, as you mentioned, everything brand new.
Well, and honestly, too, there's some theaters out there that will have, like, limited luxury seating. And I'm at the point now where I've been spoiled with it. So I won't go unless I can get a luxury seat.
Yeah.
And so for you to be able to say, like, no, that's standard. That's every seat is luxury. You don't have to fight for those eight in one big theater that have eight luxury seats. No, you've got all of them ready to go.
Yeah, they're all luxury seats. The cool thing, we have these privacy walls between each row, so you're not seeing the head in front of you.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, so it's a good way to corral the kids if you're in a kid's movie where it's running a little bit long. But,
yeah,
the luxury seats, yeah, good way to take a nap if you are in a kid's movie. That's what I usually do.
I love it. Fat Cats right here in Bluffdale. Brand new location. It is the first day. Come celebrate with us. We've got the gift cards ready to go. 13901 Redwood Road. It's Fat Cats from Bluffdale right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
And Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. One of the best to chat with when it comes to the NBA, Keith Smith. You can follow him on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA, contributor to Spot Rack. Kind enough to join us. Keith, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So, are you you buying into the thought that Boston can come back in this series after winning the last two games? Do you give them a shot here?
Oh, yeah, I'm more than bought in. I'm overflowing with belief that they may get this done. It's, you know, kind of unbelievable that we are, you know, the journey here was very different. But we are in a spot where the Celtics have been the last 2 years, which was down 3-2 to the Bucks, having lost, early, going on the road for game six. And then the same thing just a round ago against Philadelphia 76ers, down 3-2, going on the road for game six. They don't like to make it easy on themselves, but they've been here and done that before, even if the path to this point is very different.
Well, the most disturbing thing through this was some of the conversation about Joe Mazzulla maybe losing connection with his team, and it feels like that may have been rediscovered. Was too much made of that, that Mazzulla is not the right man, but maybe he had lost his locker room?
Yeah, you know, the last locker room stuff kind of came out of nowhere. I hadn't heard that from the people I talked to around the team. There were definitely people who thought he might be in a little over his head, especially against Eric Spoelstra, who for my money is the best coach in the game today. So there was definitely that thought. But as far as, you know, the players having belief in him and trust in him, that never seemed to really be a thing that had come up. But, you know, those are the kind of things that get said when you're losing, when you're down unexpectedly 3-0 in a series, that, you know, everybody wants to try to place blame somewhere, and it generally seems to be easiest to just throw that blame on the coach.
So, given the fact there's been a lot of owners and GMs right now with a itchy trigger finger when it comes to firing coaches, and a lot of really good coaches on the open market, had the Celtics lost game four, do you think that they would have made a move?
I don't think they would have, only because they had just given him a long-term contract only a few months ago. It was right before the All-Star break when they said, you know, all right, he's going to take over as the full-time, we're removing the interim tag. And by all reports, they'd extended his deal. And that generally means, you know, they probably added at least, you know, somewhere between 2 and 3 years to that deal. And I don't think they were going to be in a position where they were going to want to eat that contract, pay him. I think, you know, they've got an extremely expensive roster. Brad Stevens is still making a coach salary to run the front office, which is, you know, that's probably got him, you know, up in the upper tier of, you know, what front office execs are making. And then you would have Mazzulla paying him to not coach the team. That didn't seem, you know, where this was headed to me, even if, you know, there was some merit to the idea of, hey, we might need to, you know, make a change here. We might have rushed into hiring this guy too soon. But, you know, as with all things, you know, you let things play out, and sometimes a better story is written after the fact.
As you've seen Boston now recover from the 3-0 and get to a 3-2, what have been the biggest changes that you have seen in those two games and two wins?
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding snarky, a lot of it is they're making their shots. You know, they're yeah, getting the same looks, but they're making them now. And that's, you know, been the difference in the last couple of games. The first couple of games, they just couldn't make anything. They were getting great looks, they just weren't knocking them down. But that said, you know, there have been some changes. Grant Williams is playing more. He's just a good player out there for the Celtics. There's a lot of things that are very helpful for them. Joe Mazzulla has made a couple changes over the last couple games. The Heat have been very aggressive about putting two on the ball, whether it be in the zone and sending the help either from the corner man or from the other topside defender, or in pick and roll actions, you know, just staying two on the ball, especially against Tatum and Brown. What Mazzulla's done is he's lifted somebody right there to be a very easy outlet, you know, to those guys. And whether that guy gets the shot or then they move, and now you've got them kind of caught in the blender. And then defensively, they've been extremely aggressive the last couple games. They're digging down hard whenever Miami puts the ball on the floor and those kind of things. And in that game last night, the Heat tried to run a lot of stuff through Bam Adebayo, 25, 30 feet from the basket. And the Celtics said, great, let's do it. Let's see if he's up to being a ball handler and playmaker instead of a, you know, a DHO guy finding guys on backdoor cuts. We're going to really press up into him, and it caused a real lot of problems for Miami.
So Jimmy Butler afterwards said, we're okay, we're fine. Everybody's got all smiles. We're going to be okay. We'll close this thing out in game six. But that pressure cooker is now really intensifying in that Miami locker room. How do you think they respond going back home for game six?
Yeah, I think all the pressure is on them now. That's not to say it's all of a sudden not a disappointment if the Celtics lose or anything like that, because it is. You know, everybody expected them to get back to the finals at the very least, and when the matchups came out, it was expected, and falling down 3-0. You know, definitely not what anyone thought. But now it's 3-2. Now the pressure's on Miami. You have to get this closed out. I cannot imagine them losing that game and going into Boston on Memorial Day. Everybody's been off all day and might enjoy a beverage or two, you know, before the game starts, and what that environment might be like on Memorial Day night there in Boston. I think, you know, I can't imagine them going into there and winning. But, you know, I think to some extent, though, Jimmy Butler's right in saying, hey, we have to win one. They have to win two. You know, and he feels good. Now, I will say, he said this a year ago, too, that, you know, they were going back home and they were going to win, you know, game seven, and they were going to get it all closed out and finished off, and that didn't happen either. So, you know, to this point, you know, we'll see, you know, how it goes, but I definitely agree with you that the pressure is turned way towards Miami side.
I guess in a side note here, I'm just curious, what was Boston's reaction when they lost Will Hardy out here to the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I think, you know, at that time, you know, the Ime Udoka stuff hadn't surfaced. So they were all very happy for him to get that opportunity. they're excited. Obviously, you know, bummed to lose him because he is such, you know, was such a big part of that staff, and they liked him. I've talked to folks who had said, had that not played out the way it played out, he would have been the guy that would have gotten bumped into the top spot, and he would have been the guy, you know, leading the team. But at the time, they were very happy. I think, you know, if they had the time machine, they'd go back and do what they could to keep him around, you know, knowing, you know, that they were going to need a head coach, you know, only a couple months later. But, you know, at the time, yeah, they were extremely happy for him.
If you're the Denver Nuggets, who do you prefer coming out of the East?
Yeah, that's a good question. I got to believe it's still Miami. I just think Denver's going to look at that and say, we can get some stuff done defensively against these guys. They're not a great offensive team. I think they're going to look at it and say, there's some attack points that we can go against. I imagine, you know, Michael Malone and his staff have been kind of in the lab looking at both of these teams and trying to draw it up. And I think, you know, the Celtics, when they're playing well, they look like they're the best team in the NBA. The question is, are they going to play well, you know, for enough games in a series? But Miami, even when they're winning games, doesn't look like a dominant team that's going to, you know, run you out of the gym. So I think they got to prefer Miami. But, you know, I think for now they're doing the right thing by kind of saying, hey, it doesn't really matter to us. We're going to be ready either way come game one.
So as you now look at the potential and the run to the finals with Denver coming out of the West, how do you see Boston doing if they do come out of the East? And how do you see Miami doing if they do come out of the East against this Denver Nugget team?
I think Boston has a better chance to beat them than Miami does, because I think the Celtics can cause them some problems by defending them. Their perimeter defenders are better, but they still don't have great options to throw at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And then, you know, the Celtics do a pretty good job of, when they're playing the right way, they kind of get into your players that you're less confident in defensively, let's put it that way. And the Nuggets have a handful of those guys. And I think they could throw a lot of different looks at Nikola Jokic, probably Al Horford to start, Rob Williams probably see some time on him. And then I think, you know, Grant Williams has done a nice job on Jokic over the years, because he'll just get up in underneath him and annoy him and do all the kind of things that you know, you expect him to do in a series. I think Miami, you know, I'm not going to count them out, because you know, every time you do, they come back and win. But I think it's just a little harder for them. And then I think the Heat, it feels like they're kind of limping to the finish line here. They've got a lot of guys who are banged up and injured. They're picking up seemingly more injuries every game. I mean, Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo, and Caleb Martin all kind of limped out of that game five. So we'll see what they look like by the time they get there.
So when you when you look at, and I know you've got ties to Danny Ainge and you've covered him, he's got a treasure chest of picks. He's got salary cap space. Is this the summer where the Jazz get crazy, or do you think that they kind of sit back and wait a little bit longer? How aggressive do you think this team is in this offseason?
Yeah, they're sitting in a really great spot, because what's going to happen, I think, this summer and into next year, we're kind of in a two-year window for all these really expensive teams to get their books in order with the new kind of, I call it the super tax coming in with all the penalties for being, you know, super expensive, like the Warriors, the Clippers have been, the Nets where they were previously. So I think what we're seeing is we're going to see some teams probably move on by a trade from some pretty good players, just because it's going to be, if we want to be able to do anything else with our roster, we need to rebalance this thing. And I think Danny Ainge is going to be sitting there saying, hey, we got $40 million in cap space. Let's talk. You know, let's see what we can do. And knowing Danny Ainge, it'll probably be, I'll get a good player, and just for helping you out, throw me a pick or two along the way, because that just seems to be the way he operates in these trades. But I don't know that this is the summer for them to kind of, let's go all in, let's make it happen. I think it's probably one more summer of, let's build, let's continue to retool. But you know, just taking that approach, that found them some pretty good players this past summer. So they think it's just, you know, hey, let's continue that work. Let's, you know, slow and steady this thing versus trying to push all in too early.
You were mentioning teams that may have some availability and some movement. What do you think happens with Golden State after being eliminated?
Yeah, I just got to believe they're going to re-sign Draymond Green. I just have a hard time believing both sides will say, yeah, that's enough. Let's move on. I think they're going to come to their senses and realize they're better together. But I think a guy like Jordan Poole may be very available this summer. I think Jordan Poole, some players just aren't good coming off the bench. We've seen that over the years. Some guys
can't adapt to it. I believe it's a real skill to be a good player off the bench. That's why guys like Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams had, you know, long, long careers coming off the bench because they were very, very good at it. Jordan Poole just doesn't seem like he's quite as good when that's his role. So I do think they may say, all right, we got to kind of do something to rebalance our books a little bit, to kind of get ourselves back in a place. And my guess is that may mean Jordan Poole's on the move. We'll see about Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot of stuff. He's making a lot of noise about, hey, I want a real chance to play. And I think their main core, probably back, Curry, Thompson, Green, Wiggins, Looney, and then they'll try to build out their bench depth a little bit differently behind those guys. I can't imagine they're going to break it up now.
So the Denver Nuggets are just going to sit back and wait and wait and wait. Is there a rest versus rust conversation to have with this team? Do you think it affects them one way or another?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, one thing is, of course, everybody's dealing with bumps and bruises at this time of year. But it's not like the Nuggets had a guy who was, oh, you know, he was going to miss the last half of that Western Conference Finals because of a rolled ankle, and now he'll be back. They didn't have anybody like that. They're, you know, about as healthy as they've been all season going into to this NBA Finals. So I do think now you're in a position where, hey, it was great to, you know, sit for a while and, you know, put your feet up and get all this preparation time. But I do think, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, live action going against another team. I think we could see game one be a little bit bumpy for them just because, you know, they haven't played against anybody. And, you know, by that point, it'll probably be about a week and a half when the NBA final starts for them. So I think rest versus rust is absolutely something we're going to have our eyes on.
I know you got to go, but I do want to throw this question at you. What did the Boston front office or what did Boston fans think about Houston signing Ime Udoka? Was there some bad blood there?
A little bit to some extent. You had some who were, because they were upset about the Joe Mazzulla stuff, the way it was going, that were like, man, they blew this. They, you know, should have been more patient and just worked with Ime Udoka, which was never going to be a thing. That was never going to happen. But for the most part, I think most Celtics fans, when you can get them there, their basic feeling is like, hey, we're done. We're moving on from this. It's over. Like, we got to, you know, go a different direction because it wasn't going to ever happen here again.
Well, hey, we appreciate your time. Thanks for carving out a few moments for us, Keith, and look forward to catching up again sometime.
Thanks, Keith.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it, Keith Smith. You follow him on Twitter, @KeithSmithNBA. And, again, does a tremendous job. Writes for the Celtics blog, front office show, and Spot Rack as well.
He thinks that Boston has more than a chance to come back and win this series.
I do as well, although I don't. I think they've got a great chance. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I still think Miami's still in that 75-85% range.
Ooh. What percentage? I would say, yeah, I'd say probably 70 to 75. I don't know if I can go 80. But
I remember our first assignment when Miami got to the 3-0. We assigned a percentage. I was at 2%. I think you were at like 10.
Yeah.
9 or 10%. I can't remember. Somewhere in that range. I thought there was no chance, but as they climb a little bit closer, it's looking better and better. I talked about this in the first segment. The reason I would give them more chance than any other team that was in a 3-0 deficit in a postseason best-of-seven series is because it's a 2-8 situation.
Yeah.
Boston is a better team. They were supposed to beat Miami. Miami, everybody felt like Miami just matched up well and got a little lucky when the freak was off the court in that first series. New York was not a good team. And everybody felt like Miami was just catching all the breaks and that they were lucky to even be there in the Eastern Conference Finals. I feel like Boston thought that to a certain extent and then got a big dose of reality, a big bucket of cold water thrown in their face going down 3-0. And the hardest thing to do is to actually eliminate a team.
Yeah.
And Miami is just sitting there right now, and they're going to press. They are going to press in Game 6.
Oh, yeah.
They know if it goes to Game 7 back to TD Garden, they don't have it. They're going to lose it. They're going to be the first one 179 to lose it. But out of the 179 0-3 deficits, that it is an 0-179 that have lost in that series, I can't imagine we've seen a 3-0 deficit from an 8 seed being the 3 wins and a 2 seed being the 0 wins. So this is just a different scenario than we've seen. So I do give them more of a chance, the potential to come back.
Well, and I think of the teams that have been down 0-3, I think of the 179, I think only 11 have got it even to a game six. So they're already in uncharted territory.
Yeah.
So why not just finish the whole thing?
Well, I got to imagine that Miami's going to be excited because they're getting Vincent back, or they should get Vincent back in game six, the guard that scored 29 points and caught everybody's attention. Jimmy Butler might have some of the attention pulled off of him. I've seen some of the rumors that swirl of they didn't care about game five because they want to go home and win it in front of their home crowd in game six.
No,
that's not how that crap works.
No, they would have wanted to win it in game four
Their
home crowd.
That is not how that stuff works.
No.
And they're going to press. Game six, they're going to press.
Yeah.
And if they come out and they clank a couple early threes and they're in the second quarter and they are 2 of 12 or 3 of 12 from 3, then they're going to start really swirling, because that's what Jimmy Butler talked about in the post game.
Yeah.
After game 5, he said a couple guys started missing some shots and they get down in the dumps, but we know that's not going to be the case in game 6. When you're living and dying at the 3, it can be the case in any game. And when you're up 3-0 and you got the press to get this 2 seed out, all the pressure's on you. The pressure's on you.
Yeah.
I know you're playing with house money, but you are at a 3-0. Now the pressure's on you. You've got your house money, but now you're seeing, oh, I could get to the final table. I might win the bracelet. And the pressure, because it falls on you.
Yeah.
Boston's like, geez, man, 0-3. I guess if we do it at this point, we do it. If not, we lose our head coach. So it's actually turned into quite the series.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Olsen, assemble.
Yeah, man.
They're all here, man.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to see the crew.
You even got Clark down here.
Yeah, Dad came down. He wanted to see Fat Cats. I don't know. Maybe Dad's a bowler.
Yeah, bring him by. Let's bring Clark by.
Story time.
No.
Come on.
Only if Richard's here.
Nope.
We'll put the headset on both of them.
Yeah, that would not end well for either of us. Austin's with us right now. We're live here at Fat Cats, the new Bluffdale location. It is the first day that this place is opened and ready to go, man. This is awesome.
Hey, the coolest thing is Fat Cats is all indoors. Looks like it's going to start raining out there, so better get here and get out of the rain.
Oh, man, we got bowling alleys ready for you. We got piping hot food. You talked about the fry display. We got the arcades. We got things to keep you busy for as long as you need.
Yeah, come kick off the weekend watching a movie in our luxury seats, get your food delivered right to you, get some good popcorn. Yeah, all the good stuff here.
Well, and the arcade, we're giving away $10 arcade passes, which, again, arcades are half off. Yep. Until
June 9th. Yeah, 2 week grand opening special. Yeah, half off arcade.
So you can come by and take this card, and then there's a little kiosk over there. You can load it up with how much you want and get 50% off of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll get all the games are marked down half off, and yeah, we're not skimping on our prizes or any of that kind of stuff or manipulating them. It's like, yeah, come play. You're going to win some prizes. It's good stuff.
How's Bluffdale been, the community and the experience getting yourself to this point?
Let's just say I'm really glad we're open, because I'm sick of answering when are you opening kind of questions. So
there's
a lot of good
people
excitement.
Driving up, yeah, trying to open the door.
Oh, I'm sure.
No, it's been great. I love the support that has surrounded this. This is unlike anything they have in this area. Of course, they have, you know, Riverton and Draper have some things, but here in Bluffdale, it's one of probably their biggest business that's open. They're excited, and they've been gracious hosts.
Well, when I was driving up to it, and I look over, and I'm like, holy crap. I mean, that looks like an arena. Like, I mean, the overall size of this thing is just massive.
Yeah.
When you see it off the road, like, oh, yeah, okay, these guys aren't messing around.
Yeah, it's 61,000 square feet. It's huge. It's in a brand new development, so it's the first thing here, so it does make it pop. It's got great views right from Bangor, so Bangor and Redwood, you can't miss us.
It's so fun, man. Go sit back in those reclining chairs, all those sofas that they've got in the theater rooms, and you order your food and they bring it up to you, and you've got these trays that fold in front of you, and it's the full nine yards when it comes to just a relaxing, comfortable movie watching experience. You're not crammed in hip to hip on bench seating. This is all luxury seating, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's super convenient to have those trays so you can bring your food and eat. It's not like you're juggling stuff. We'll bring the food right to you. Another cool thing, you have those privacy walls. You just kind of feel like you have the whole row and the whole theater to yourself in a sense. And all these first-run movies, you got Little Mermaid, you got Fast 10, Guardians, still got Mario, all these good ones out right now.
Have you seen the Fast 10?
Not yet. I need to go see it this weekend here at Bluffdale, I guess.
I've never watched the Fast and Furious movie.
Oh,
not even
on.
The first?
Not even the first one.
I've only seen the first.
That's the best one. But
the first is great.
Yeah.
It's dude, really good.
It. Yeah, I remember seeing that one in theaters, and every person leaving there was trying to think they were in the movie. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. They come walking out to their Honda Civic and be like, all right, let's go.
I was down in Provo Town. Oh, it was so funny. That's a lasting memory I always have of that movie.
I'm not going to lie, man. I got in my car and took it from the automatic over to the manual.
Oh, yeah. You mean business when that's happening.
And I got my little clickers on the steering wheel.
Good stuff, man.
Get down here. It's the new Fat Cats in Bluffdale. It's opening day, 13901 Redwood here in Bluffdale. Let's go. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps. The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Nope. He's not doing that, Lloyd. Well, we're starting the show over.
I'm glad that you... Yeah.
No. Okay, that's fine. We can restart the show, but you have to read that right here.
I don't have to read it right now.
Well, it's
we'll get it in at some point.
We'll get to it.
So, Lloyd, is it just because it's a Friday, you just want to kick things off again?
Keep
you
the show going?
We had such a good day, I just wanted to keep going.
Because why not, right? Just reset it.
Yeah. All right. Again. It's Sports Roulette. We take something. See, look, Lloyd makes a mistake, and it's like, not a big deal. I mispronounce one word, and we're going to spend probably the next 2 months talking about
no,
it.
No, we won't.
Or until whenever this event happens.
Yeah, but it was a great word.
It was.
Yeah, man, it was a classic mistake.
Hey, by the way, guess what Maddie just sent? The link to the online ballot. For the 60 and 60.
Meaning what? That it's votable?
Yeah. Well, not to the public. That will start on Tuesday. So you, the public, can start voting on Tuesday. But the media ballots will be going out here very soon.
So just a reminder to everybody, our listeners have an opportunity to affect the outcome of the 60 and 60. Just a reminder from last year, our first year allowing the public vote.
Correct.
One university showed up.
Yes.
And the public vote swayed heavy one way.
It was BYU.
We'll only give you a hint. Three letters. B, Y, and U.
Yes.
If you want your players to have a shot at the public vote, you've got to show up and you've got to vote.
Now, we did do a couple of adjusting, and I'm looking at the media ballot right now, which will be exactly the same. And essentially, what will be done, so last year we just had everything alphabetical by school. So that may have impacted things. So we had the big collection of BYU players.
Yeah.
And then Utah players, and then Utah State players, and then Weber State.
Yeah.
Because it was alphabetical. This year, Maddie, because we mentioned, okay, that might have been a problem because people complained about it, and Utah fans, well, no wonder everybody saw the BYU play. So what we did is she just randomized everything. So this is not by, it's just a complete randomizer. So you've got a scattering of Utah, BYU, Utah State players.
So those of you that think that we take your complaints and file it in the trash can.
No.
We do not file your complaints in the trash can.
Well, most of them we do, but some of them have merit.
But some, because Scotty rose that question in one of our big meetings. He's like, yeah. This is one thing, it's a point of concern. We need to have Utah State players at the top.
No.
No,
let's not do this.
He said,
"Jeez, not you two, a two brute." No,
and two brute. He said, "We got to randomize it, and that is what has been done."
So you might see Cam Rising show up at the bottom of this list. Doesn't mean he's the very last,
but you got to move him to the top.
But he should probably be moved towards the top.
The way that they've got this thing as the ranker, I love that too.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Easy format.
You just click and slide.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
Put them where you want to put them.
Yep.
And I think that this list is going to be one of the tougher lists we've ever had to deal with.
Yeah, good luck to all you voting right now. All right, let's get to it. We got a bunch of headlines on the old wheel. So, Lloyd, let's fire it up, shall we?
Enough is enough.
All right, I'm going to take you back to October 10th, Scotty.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. Raiders and Chiefs.
Okay.
Chiefs get the win. Raiders are leaving the field. Davante Adams shoves a photographer.
Yes.
The photographer falls to the ground. That goes back to October 10th. The man's name is Park Zebley. Well, he is now officially filing a major lawsuit, not just against Davante Adams, but against the Chiefs as well. He claimed to have suffered whiplash, headaches.
Oh, yeah, you just beat me to it.
He had a concussion.
You said headaches, I think, when this went down, Scotty. Yeah. You already said this.
Please say emotional distress.
It does not clarify emotional distress, but loss of work and other things.
Okay, well, yeah.
So at the time, he was a freelance photographer for ESPN, and Adams was charged with misdemeanor assault, remember, following the event.
Correct.
He also sent out an immediate apology on social media, which then he quickly deleted. Well, here we are 7.5 months later.
He deleted the apology?
Yes. Here we are 7.5 months later, and Zebley has now decided to file the lawsuit. A municipal misdemeanor battery charge is not sufficient. This is what Zebley said. I'm looking for justice.
Oh, boy.
You can't shove someone down and walk off like it didn't happen. Not in real life. Not only has he named Adams as a defendant, but he's also suing the Raiders, the Chiefs,
the Broncos,
the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, and the Denver Broncos. No. And Landmark Event Staffing.
Wow, everybody's getting it.
Everybody's getting sued.
Actually, you know what? Honestly, and I think this was a conversation, if memory serves me right, that didn't Adams kind of place some blame on the Chiefs for kind of funneling everybody in? And like, yes. I do think the Chiefs actually
not
have
proper security.
Some culpability in some of this, too, where he was at. And, look, should we be suing? Probably not. Did he have a concussion? I guarantee he didn't. But you can't prove if a guy had a concussion.
Can't prove it.
Whiplash.
Hate
this. Yeah. Headaches.
I hate it so bad.
I mean, he's going to get something.
It just makes me sick. He was in the way. Adams was upset. He pushed him down. Adams issued an apology on social media. Obviously got quick advice to take that apology down, which it's too late. It's out there. The screen grab was out there.
Like, what was the apology? I don't remember why the apology was deleted.
I think he got advice of, hey, if this guy sues, that's an admission of guilt.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
So take that down. That would be my only guess.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Because it went down pretty quickly. But here we are, man. And I could not find the amount that was being asked. But when you are bringing the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Jackson County Sports Complex, Landmark Event Staffing, when you're bringing them all into it, you are looking to get rich quick.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Mailman is cashing out.
So, Karl Malone, in the great 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, and I don't know what happened here, but apparently, I don't know if Karl was just a jersey hound, or if they had certain games where guys just handed jerseys over to everybody else. But Karl Malone, in the semifinals of the Olympics, in which the United States beat Lithuania 172-76 back in those Olympics of 92, Karl Malone pretty much got everybody's jersey from that game. Michael Jordan's, Larry Bird, he got Charles Barkley, David Robinson, jeez, Clyde Drexler. He got all their jerseys.
The greats of the greats.
And they're all signed, and now Karl is selling them. In fact, he's selling 24 memorabilia items from the 92 Olympic team, and it is getting him $5 million. Now, let me go through some of the values of these jerseys, okay, for what they went through. So let's start with Charles Barkley's jersey from this semifinal game. That went for $230,000. David Robinson went for $116,000. Clyde Drexler went for under $100,000. He went from $92,000. Let's see who else. Larry Bird went for $360,000. He also got Larry Bird's sneakers from that game. That went for $91,000. Magic Johnson went for $336,000. So you got Larry Bird is so far the highest out of everybody with $360,000 for his jersey. Guess what? Michael Jordan's jersey went for. So you got Larry Bird is the highest outside of everybody else on the team that went for $360,000. Guess what Michael Jordan's jersey went for? Lloyd, feel free to jump in.
$1.2 million.
Lloyd, you want to make a guess?
And you said Michael Jordan's?
Michael Jordan's jersey. So of all the team outside of Michael, Larry's the highest at $360,000.
I'm going to say $1.2
million. I'm going to go $1.5?
$3
million. Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't even guess two. Holy cow.
Michael Jordan, and it was signed. He goes to Carl. Good luck. Michael Jordan, number 9, because that's the jersey number he had, was number 9. That went for $3 million. The highest teammate after that was $360,000. In fact, how about this? This wasn't even the Olympics. It was the Tournament of the Americas that the United States played in to get to the Olympics. Karl Malone got his shoes from that tournament, and those went for $420,000. These weren't even the Olympics.
Stupid.
This was the Tournament of the Americas. Those shoes went for more than Larry Bird's jersey.
This is stupid. Okay. A few thoughts on this, Scotty. Number one, how would you feel if you're Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and you're seeing Karl Malone sell your crap? Would that not bug you?
Just called it crap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is crap.
Hey, by the way, so I guess the story, I just got a text from my nephew. What's up, Jace? Who said the story is Karl Malone's wife went through the locker and picked up all the jerseys after the game. And
oh,
then
that's dirty.
And then had, and but I guess, you know, she wasn't hiding it because they all signed him. She just picked up the jerseys and said, hey, we're going to grab these. You want to sign them?
That's not dirty. She just.
She goes, hey, if you guys are going to leave him here, I'm going to grab them all.
In the time, you wouldn't have thought those jerseys held that value.
And I guess all of these items, so 24 items, they were all hanging or showcased at the dealership here in Utah. And finally, Carl's like, nah, we're going to sell them all. And he sold them for $5 million collectively, obviously.
How would you feel, though, if you're Clyde Drexler or you're Larry Bird or you're one of these guys?
Well,
wouldn't you be like, how much did you get for, how about can I have some of that?
I mean, Drexler's like, hey, man, it only went for $92,000.
Oh, come on. The Glide should have gone for more than that.
He should have broke six figures. Come on.
And what is this about? Is this Carl? Has Carl got a kid that called and was like, "Dad, I want a new cabin by the beach." He's like,
I want a dolphin.
I want a golden dolphin, Dad.
All right, Wonka. How much you? What do you want for it?
Guess I'll sell off our Olympic
name
jerseys.
Name your price.
Is he strapped for cash?
I can't imagine Carl's hurting for cash.
Well, why else sell? Why sell these?
I don't know, but $5 million for the whole lot.
Maybe he's like, I don't want my kids to have that money.
Maybe so.
There could be something there, maybe.
We'll make sure. I'm gonna get that money. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Did Carl start a cigar company, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because remember he handed them out to all the kids at
Joe
LSU?
Joe Burrow.
Oh, that's right.
One of those.
That's right. He can't be hurting for money.
No.
But why sell these jerseys for $5 million? What's that going to do?
Well, I mean, look.
This just looks
weird. Did a show with Carl. You know he's weird. He's like, this stuff's taking up room. I could be hanging a stuffed mule deer where that jersey is. Let's get rid of it.
Bring up a point, bud. I never knew what direction that show was going to go.
Holmes.
No,
Holmes.
It was nearly Hoynes.
No, that's.
Holmes. Now, hear me out, okay? Herb? What'd you say? Herb? And then.
Well, therapeutic advances of deer urine.
You know how to bring in a 8-point buck without a whistle?
No, Carl, I do not. But I have a stinking suspicion you're going to tell me.
He was unique. That show was crazy. It just seems strange that he's selling this gear.
All right. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We'll wrap this thing up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Chip Brown, Texas insider for Horns247.com and 24/7 Sports. When you look at the win totals for the league this year, are people on track for what Texas should be doing? And is there anybody who jumps out at you in the Big 12 who's wildly overhyped or underhyped?
Well, I think it's interesting that Vegas is setting the over-under for Oklahoma at 9.5, which is the same total that they're putting for Texas. The depth of the league, there's no easy weekend, especially now with Kansas. No one's talking about Kansas, but Kansas got off to that 5-0 start. They returned their quarterback, and Lance Leipold has done a good job of getting that program to believe. I think the depth of the Big 12 is what makes it so tough.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up another award-winning edition of the show. It's been fun today, man. This place is
hopping. I love Fridays, and I think we need to do every Friday at Fat Cats because it just brings the energy.
Well, we just ate our weight in pizza, which is saying something. So, yeah, I mean, life is pretty good right now. We gave away 97 gift cards. We just threw away the box.
We had a meat lover's pizza that was really good, man.
Yeah.
Sausage, bacon, pepperoni, nice crust, real crispy on the bottom.
Yep.
Just like I like it. Good sauce. Now I think we need to try the chicken fingers and the fry selection just to make sure that we're not missing something.
Is your family out on the lanes now?
They must be. I think they got out there.
Where'd Clark run off to? I got to chat with him.
I'll bet he's bowling a 300.
I could see that.
I bet Pops is over there just rolling it.
Yep. Hey, by the way, before we wrap up, remember the National Hockey League is kicking off the upcoming season in Utah. Don't miss the Frozen Fury as the San Jose Sharks take on the LA Kings at the Delta Center. Hey, by the way, you see the sign up? Delta Center, it's back.
Yeah, it's back.
All installed and ready to go, October 5th. Tickets at lakings.com/frozenfury. It's all in association with the Utah Sports Commission.
My warrior pop, man, fighting through a massive heart attack, stage 4 lymphoma.
And he's out here bowling a 300.
Out here looking like he's
Pete Weber.
Who do you think I am? I am. Pete Weber? Like he's Earn McCracken.
Is that the guy's name?
Big Earn.
Yeah.
Off Kingpin?
Yeah.
I think Pete Weber's a actual bowler, isn't
he? Oh, is he?
Pete Weber's an actual bowler, yeah.
Yeah.
He's out there golf bowling like he's Roy Munson.
Roy Munson, there you go.
The fake hand.
Yeah. Well, Austin's with us. We're live here at Fat Cats. Have you ever seen a guy at Fat Cats bowl a 300 before?
I've not seen it. There's legends of people doing it. I've never seen it, though.
I would like to see somebody bowl a 300. That'd be cool to watch.
What, have you ever broke into the 150s?
I think once.
Have you?
Yeah. Have you broken two?
No, I haven't. I haven't broken. You know that I flunked bowling at BYU, right?
How do you flunk? That's because you didn't show up.
False. According to my bowling instructor, who I guess he wanted me to call him bowling professor or whatever, I think he's a dork. I think he's a moron.
What do you think you are? I am.
Hey, does the can you even fit your big old hands in a bowling ball though?
I palm it.
You palm it.
Yeah, I just
like
palm
a normal
it.
Person palms a yeah.
But no, I went bowling with like we did this like double date with some neighbors once, and I didn't I thought we were just gonna have fun, and this guy was like a ringer, but that's how he bowled. Like he didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't put the fingers in. Like he had it palmed, and he would just sit there and just spin it.
Yeah, when I do, I can hear the when I roll it. You can hear my finger.
And then
pop
it goes
out
way up in the air and lands, and puts a dent in the wood.
Yeah, don't throw it 5 feet or higher. That's kind of the target.
So the bowling class, you bowl an opening round, and I bowled like an 85, and then we closed, and I bowled like an 80, and he was like, "You got worse. I can't pass you." I was like,
I'd love to see LaBelle going over your transcripts. I'm like, Hans, how did we flunk bowling?
You're
academically ineligible again because of bowling?
When I went back to graduate, they sent my transcripts over, and there it was, man, bowling, whatever, bowling 101 and big old F, and I'm like, I'd like to find that instructor and give him a knuckle sandwich.
They probably actually put your score, like your bowling score on there, too. Not just like 80. Yeah. The 80.
Yeah. Maybe they just took my score and transitioned it right into a letter grade.
Oh, man.
52.
You know, the worst grade I got in college was in music 101. Because I'm like, how hard can it be? So I like showed up to a test and they're like, what instrument is this? And they'd play it and everybody's like, oh, that's the bassoon or what. I'm like, I have no idea what that is.
The bassoon.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is. Anyway, all right, Austin, you got so much good stuff going on down here, man. The bassoon. Arcades are just hopping now. And tell you what, people have figured out this is the place. It didn't take long for people to find it on your opening day.
Yeah, we just opened this morning. The rain clouds are here. So, hey, Fat Cats all indoors. Come in here and play some games, go bowling, go see a movie, all the good stuff.
So many things to do here. Talk about the mini golf. We haven't talked about that mini golf course that you got.
Yeah, it's a brand new design. It's our second one in one of our centers. It's a glow in the dark. It's a brand new. It's a space themed. It's actually kind of challenging. It's not your normal putt course. You're gonna have to show up and play some. Yeah, you want to get a hole in one? You're gonna have to try some.
Wow. Well, you got great food as we've witnessed, and we saw the pizza. But whether you just want a great popcorn for your movies, or chicken fingers, or burgers, or whatever, and I love the fact it's all delivered to you. You pay your ticket, you go. You order your food, you go sit down, and all of a sudden you're going to see somebody come up to your seat and say, "Sir, here's the here's all your food. Let's go."
Yeah, man. here's your other meat lovers you ordered, sir. If you're going bowling, they'll bring it over to your lanes. You're in the theater, they're gonna find you and bring you your food.
That's so cool. It's so cool. That's high service right there. It's a fun day. It's a fun getaway with the family. Come check it out. As Austin's mentioned, it's half price. So you're going to get some incredible things through June.
Yeah, half price arcade through June 9th. So our June next 9th. 2 weeks, half price arcade.
Let's get down here.
You win those tickets and go exchange them for toys. And the kids love that stuff. Come in and have a ball.
And by the way, yeah, like, you know, you go to some places where you have, you know, you worked all this, put in all this effort to get all these tickets, and then you got, like, four, like, Beanie Babies, and, like, here, take a pick. Like, that's a big part of your place.
They got, like, Switches and Xboxes, and I think they even have a TV in there. But, yeah, you get some small plush stuff, but, like you said, Beanie Babies, but, yeah, all the way up to gaming systems. It's awesome.
It's really cool, man. Congratulations. This place is awesome.
Yeah, love you guys, and it's great to have you guys out. And you're always here every Friday now. You guys better start coming.
There we go. Let's do it.
Every Friday. I would love it, man. Just call it the Fat Cats Fridays, and we'll just be out here bowling.
Start something great right now.
Yeah, it'll be great. Thanks for having us out, Austin.
Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
Remember, half price through, what, June 9th? Is that what you said?
June 9th.
On the arcades.
Yeah.
13901 Redwood here in Bluffdale. Get on down. Take advantage of it. Beautiful location. It's opening day. It's Fat Cats right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It sounds good. Thanks, guys. See ya.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.